This meeting will now come to order. Please stand for a moment of silence. Thank you. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Ball?
Here.
Mr. Ball?
Here.
Mr. Cartier?
Here.
Ms. Phillips?
Here.
Mr. Holland?
Here.
Mr. Cochran?
Here.
Mr. Powers?
Here.
Mr. Rutter?
Here.
Here.
Mr. Smiley?
Here.
Mr. Street?
Here.
Mr.
Tappet? Here.
Mr. Weiner?
Here.
Mr. President, roll call reveals 13 present.
Thank you. We now have approval minutes. Are there any corrections or amendments to the meeting on February 12, 2013?
Motion to approve is distributed.
Second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Minutes are approved. Any announcements from members of council? Mr. Powers?
Yes. Council President, I will be not introducing Ordinance 1301, being that I've been trying to get up with the developer and his attorney. Before I introduce this, I want to have a little more information brought to me. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other announcements?
Mr. President?
Mr. Weiner?
Thank you, Mr. President, members of council. I will be representing Newcastle County at the National Association of Counties Legislative Conference in Washington, D.C. this weekend.
Thank you. Represent us well.
Thank you.
Mr. Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I will be removing resolution number 13061 from the consent calendar for the purpose of withdrawal.
Thank you, Mr. Hollins. Any other announcements from members? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, introduction of ordinances.
Ordinance 1301 to amend the grants budget to appropriate federal grant award of $195,300 from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security to the federal fiscal year 2010 Homeland Security Grant Program for the Newcastle County Department of Public Safety.
We now have reports from select and special committees. Mr. Smiley.
As the Finance Committee met at 1:30 today at the 8th floor conference room, discussed items on this evening's agenda, and approved several grants.
Thank you, Mr. Smiley. The Executive Committee, we met today in the conference room at 4:30. We discussed appointments to the Design Review Board and License and Inspection Review Board. Also talked about extensively the appointment of Elmer Setting as Chief of Police. We also discussed the revised job description for the Director of Communications and amended Rule 2.42. Mr. Smiley spoke on that. We also discussed at great length the City-County Workshop Room in terms of improvements and upgrades, and we approved the new legislative aid for Council Member Lisa Diller. Land use, I'm sorry. Councilmember Diller.
Yes, the Subcommittee on Aging met this morning at 11 o'clock and received a report from the Department of Community Services regarding the numbers of 50-plus citizens in our census tracts in Newcastle County.
Thank you. Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Economic Development Subcommittee met last Tuesday. The speaker was Rich Heffron from the State Chamber of Commerce, and the discussion was about the effect on small business from the increase in workers' comp as well as minimum wage, and we were advised that the state task force to look at workers' comp has been reinstalled.
Thank you. Councilmember Retta.
Thank you. On Tuesday, February 19th, Land Use Committee meeting had a lengthy meeting. There will be two items on there, or three items on there tonight up for a vote. One is Ubers Crossing, the other was the Summit of Hokeson, and then there's a rezoning in Blackbird Hunter. And we also brought up and didn't take any action on it because of a quorum, which was the appeal for CC Farms, the LLC subdivision, the variance for Walker Farms.
Thank you, Council Member. We'll now move to the consent calendar. Any member of the council or the public may remove an item from the consent calendar for further discussion by a simple request. If an item is not removed, it will not be subject to amendment, discussion, or other objection, and will be voted upon as a package. Consent calendar items are noted on the agendas as such and published in the newspaper and available in the back of the room. Is there anyone from council or the public who wishes to have an item removed at this time? Councilman Holland.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think I must have fallen asleep. Have we gone through the other agenda items, introductions, et cetera? We've done all of those things. And I would move to have removed from the consent calendar the resolution appointing Nancy Jenkins to the planning board. That would be resolution number R13061.
Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Madam Clerk, please proceed the reading of the consent calendar.
Resolution 13060, congratulating and commending the Newcastle County Police Department for 100 years of dedicated service to Newcastle County. Resolution 13062, confirming the appointment of Jessica McElvain to the Newcastle County Sanitary Design Review Advisory Committee. Resolution 13063, consenting to the appointment of Kenneth Williams to the Newcastle County Board of License Inspection and Review.
Madam Clerk, please call the roll on the consent calendar.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Craig?
Yes.
Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Holland?
Yes.
Mr. Patrick?
Yes.
Mr. Power?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, roll call vote 13, yes.
Thank you. Presentations. I make a motion to suspend the rules in order to vote on R13-67 and vote on it out of order.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Also, we are pleased to have our county executive here tonight, the former chief of police for Newcastle County Police. I'm going to ask our chairman of our public safety committee and Mr. Retta if you would escort the county executive in at this time.
Shouldn't we work the resolution first?
Yeah, when Councilman Bell comes back, we'll work the resolution.
My friend.
Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President. Move that resolution R13-067 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Resolution 13-067, consenting to the appointment of Elmer Setting to Chief of Police of the Newcastle County Police Department.
Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President. We had a lengthy discussion in the executive session concerning our acting chief and hopefully soon to be chief of our county police department. But before we begin with the actual resolution, we're pleased, very pleased this evening to have with us Chief, and if they would please rise and be recognized, Chief Michael Capriglione, Newport Police Department.
Let's give Chief a hand. Welcome, Chief.
Chief Christine Dunning from our Wilmington Police Department.
Give Chief a hand.
Chief Laura Giles, Ellesmere Police Department.
Welcome, Chief.
Chief Kevin McDerby, Newcastle City Police Department.
Welcome, Chief.
And Chief Daniel Tejaden, Delaware City Police Department.
Welcome, Chief.
And also retired from our Newcastle County Police Department, Chief Tejaden. Members of Council and our distinguished guests and ladies and gentlemen that are here this evening with us, this particular resolution to confirm the appointment of Captain Elmer Setting, to Chief of Police. In our discussion this afternoon, and I just want to take the time for many of you that are here this evening that really was not available at the time to listen, but just to kind of reflect back to the experience, work experience of Elmer Setting in our County Police Department, 24-year veteran of the Newcastle County Police, uniformed patrol officer, mounted patrol unit officer, public information officer, uniformed patrol sergeant, police academy commander, uniformed police lieutenant, commander, mounted patrol and K-9 units, uniformed patrol section commander, administrative section commander, special operations branch commander, criminal investigations section commander, and co-commander, uniformed patrol section. As we discussed this afternoon, and we mentioned this evening, that the candidate before us for chief of our county police department has a proud past, and he has a bright future ahead of him. He is surrounded by an excellent team of public safety professionals, our law enforcement officers and our law enforcement leadership in our county police department are second to none in our nation. As we discussed this afternoon, experience, institutional knowledge, leadership, and a new vision for our county police department in the future years to come. So we are very proud and pleased tonight to introduce this resolution and call upon the vote of council for the confirmation of Captain Setting, our acting chief of police.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm happy to co-sponsor this legislation, and I echo your comments, and we look forward to a bright future under Chief Setting's leadership vision. And we thank all of the chiefs and our law enforcement agencies for being here tonight. Anyone from the council, you have any questions or comments at this time? Public comment? FOP President, please come. Please state your name for the record, sir.
My name is Michael Zielinski. I'm the president of the Fraternal Order of Police Lodge 5. My union represents the men and women of the Newcastle County Police Department and the Sheriff's Department. I know there's been some conversations with many of you on on County Council and some other places as to where the FOP stands in the naming of Elmer Setting as our next chief. I'm proud to tell you that we're 100% behind the decision that's been made. I've known Elmer for 15 years, my entire career. Started out as my lovely drill instructor as a recruit. I worked for him as a my patrol sergeant, then again as my patrol lieutenant, and lastly as the commander of the CIU unit. As many of you know, relationships between union leaders and leaders of police agencies are oftentimes frictional, adversarial, controversial, and we often butt heads. What I can tell you about his initiatives are that they're great. The TAPS program is just one example. His ability to fill the vacancies rapidly and his ability to communicate with all the men and women in our department, taking the time each and every day to attend roll calls. Really means a lot to our officers. Although morale has been low at times, it's been stagnant for quite some time, I can honestly tell you today that the morale of our department is drastically improving. Since being appointed, the relationship between the FOP has improved. We're often included in meetings, conversations, decisions, policy changes, and improvements. Instead of dealing with the fallout or picking up the pieces at the end, after the fact, we're now considered an important part at the beginning, building the blocks needed to put this agency back on the map. His open door policy is next to none. His continued support and inclusion of the FOP has been long overdue. Although I'll stand here today and I'll tell you for sure that we'll butt heads, at the end of the day, we'll shake hands and walk away and take nothing personal. I look forward to working with Elmer, improving and building the department and making this the best place we could possibly work. Thank you.
Any other public comment, please come forward. Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Dillard?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Shelton?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 13 yes.
Thank you. Chief, please come. With honors, badge. I actually didn't prepare anything and didn't expect to speak, but I am humbled again, as I stated earlier, by my command staff and my support system within the police department. We are second to none. I am also proud to follow in the footsteps of County Executive Tom Gordon, who was my chief of police when I came on in 1989. That's the second time in 24 years that man's pinned a badge on me. I intend to honor this badge, sir, and lead with the best of my abilities and energy and passion that I can muster. Thank you very much. County Exec, as you were escorted in, Max, Councilman Retta, Councilman Bell, that they would escort you as well. Thanks for coming. Any member have any presentations. You wish to make a presentation tonight, we're back to our normal agenda.
Need a motion to return to regular order of business.
Need a motion.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
So move. Back to our regular agenda. Council presentations. Are there any council presentations this evening? Moving on to items removed from the consent calendar and other resolutions. Consideration of resolution removed from the consent calendar and other resolutions.
Mr. President. Mr. Hollins. Thank you, Mr. President. I move that resolution number 13061 be withdrawn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
So moved. Thank you, Mr. Hollins. Mr. Hollins.
Secondly, Mr. President, I'm going to have to ask if we could suspend again the regular order of business momentarily. I neglected to report on the Community Services Committee meeting that was held this afternoon, which I think was some very important information. I would like to suspend the regular order just for a couple of seconds to make the report.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Mr. Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. President. This afternoon at 3 o'clock, the Community Services Committee met, and I think one of the things that we recognize already is happening here in Delaware with what's happening in Washington with what is called sequestering, which is going to take place on Friday of this week. And already we recognize the impact that's going to touch the most vulnerable of our population, that is folk families who are on Section 8. As was reported today, we have 1,800 families in Newcastle County who are clients of the Newcastle County Section 8 program, with another 700 families in wait. With these federal budget cuts that are likely to go in place on Friday, that is the very beginning of what we're likely to see going forward. And it's not going to end just with Section 8, as people are aware. It's going to impact education. It's going to impact early education in particular, and governments most importantly. And we are one of those governments that are going to be severely hit with this sequestering. So people should be very aware, our constituents, that what is happening in Washington is going to have a very severe negative impact on the quality of life here in Newcastle County. We did also talk about the Claymont Library this afternoon. It seems though everything is up to where we expect it to be with regard to the Claymont Library, and the council members and representative of that area, as well as the constituents, are very happy about that. And finally, we did talk about the summer camps for youth in Newcastle County, which we will have online availability for folks to register their children who want to participate in one of the Newcastle County summer camps. And also on each site, there will be availability for financial aid. So that's the result of the meeting we had at 3 o'clock this afternoon. And thank you so much. And I move now we return back to the normal order of business.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We shall return to normal business. R13-064.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Mr. Bell.
Move that resolution number 13-064 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Resolution 13-064, a plan of Huber's Crossing, St. George's 100, northeast corner of the intersection of Dupont Highway and Bayview. Major Land Development Plan proposes a 119,385 square foot shopping center in CR zone.
Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President. This particular plan was presented by the applicant and counsel for the applicant at our last Land Use Committee meeting. And the plan, to the best of my knowledge up to this point, has received no adverse comment or opposition. This particular shopping center, as I mentioned in committee, is along Route 13 between Bayview Road and Boyd's Corner Road, also known as Pole Bridge Road, in between Delaware Route 1 and Route 13. It's a very well thought out plan. This particular plan enjoys a highway system that has continued to be improved at intersections, walking paths, and light monitoring for pedestrian traffic, and also is in an area that's adjacent to other commercial properties, both to the south, to north, and an approved shopping center to the west on the other side of Route 13. Has a fire rescue and emergency medical services within probably about two-tenths of a mile, at best one-tenth, two-tenths of a mile. Actually almost sits on the property. We're ready to move forward with any question.
Thank you, Mr. Bell. Council, you have questions or comments? Mr. Weiner.
Just a positive comment. The Land Use Department has employed a new urbanist design feature, as well as the applicant, by placing the parking lot within so that from the roadway you don't see a sea of asphalt. This is very progressive, and I'm pleased to see the plan incorporated that element.
Thank you for that comment. Any other comments or questions? Mr. Redder, do I see your hand?
No.
Thank you. Public comment? Please come forward at this time. Seeing none, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please read.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers? Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 13 yes.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. R13-065. Ms. Kilpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that resolution R13-065 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Resolution 13065, plan of summit at Hokesson Mill Creek 100 West Side Limestone Road, 281 feet north of Paper Mill Road. Major land development plan proposes a 185-unit assisted living facility, ST, zoning.
Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. President. At the Land Use Committee meeting a week ago, we had another presentation on this resolution. This is a plan that was originally rezoned, then through new ownership, the plan was changed slightly, still remaining an assisted living facility. Because of that change, they went back through the entire rezoning process again through planning board. All of the public hearings came before council for committee meetings, and they are now ready for the final vote. And we have the attorney for the applicant in the audience if anybody feels the need to have another presentation on this.
Thank you. Council, questions or comments? Councilmember Cartier.
I've gone on the record in committee meeting, but I'll just state it on the floor. This facility will provide a needed care facility for our aging population in Newcastle County. And these kind of facilities, frankly, we need more of, and I'm very glad that we have this before us this evening. And the other thing I also wanted to extend my compliments to the developer and the designers of this property because, you know, they have made an effort, gone out of their way to protect historical properties as assets for this property rather than to see them as getting in the way of development. And that's where in this county, and I really feel very strongly that we should do more to protect our historical properties. And it's great to see a developer come forward and voluntarily incorporate these units, repurpose them, you know, as part of the fabric of this project. You know, you can bring new life to old buildings and put them in a context where they serve a new purpose and, in fact, add value to the property, not a detriment.
Thank you. Thank you. Any public comment? Public comment? Sir, please come forward. State your name for the record. You have 3 minutes.
Hi, good evening. Mark Blake. I'm the Vice President of GATA, the Greater Hokesson Area Development Association. The civic umbrella that started this project and path probably, I think it's almost 5 years ago. And the only thing we've seen happen is a lot of delays, and I guess the final change, it's now gone from Sunrise to Vantage to Summit. So it's gone to back to an S name anyway. This is a great project. As you all have seen before, we spoke in favor of it previously. We actually brought this back because there were some minor changes. They actually downsized the plan, kept more open space. They actually worked with the neighboring parcels, so you'll see those later in time, where they've actually got interconnection. That's something that was very interesting to do with DLDOT and the County Land Use Department, and that's something that is almost unprecedented. But as Councilman Cartier noted, the historic preservation has become a hallmark of the Hokesson area. This is just yet another notch in the belt of preserving some of these centuries-old homes and repurposing them. And we prefer to see that. That takes the burden off the rest of the county taxpayers to have them reused rather than just prettied up and boarded up. So we would voice our support for this plan. It was a unanimous decision 5 years ago, 3 years ago, and even this year. So we would just ask you to let this move forward so they can stick shovels in the ground, bring those high-quality jobs for everybody, and move forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Mrs. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 13.
Thank you. R13-066. Councilmember Diller?
Yes. I ask that R13-066 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Resolution 13-066 to rename the non-residential development recorded as Spring Run Apartments to Hidden Creek Commons.
Yes, we had a discussion about this in the Land Use Committee meeting last week, and so per title.
Questions or comments from council? Public comment? Please come forward at this time if you have public comment. Seeing none, the floor is now closed. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Mrs. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 13. Yes.
Thank you. R13-068. Per title, placed before council consideration and adoption. This is a change of job duties for director.
Never read in.
Yeah, read it. I'm sorry.
Second.
Resolution 13-068, approving revised position description for director of communications pursuant to Newcastle County Code. Section 26.03105F.
Again, I'm sorry for jumping ahead of you. Per title, placed before council for consideration and adoption. This is a change of job duties for director of communication position. This legislation expands and clarifies duties to include preparing speeches and talking points for the county executive and chief administrative officer, overseeing all social media and assisting in management of website content. Thirdly, maintaining the email distribution for the purpose of communication with the public, speaking on behalf of the county executive when required, and supervising all staffers and interns. Any other changes are for clarification and not substantive. There are no changes to the education or training requirements. Council, you have any questions or comments? Public, you have any comments? Seeing none, the floor is now closed. Madam Clerk, please read.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 13. Yes.
Thank you. R13-069. Mr. Smiley?
Mr. Cartier.
Mr. Cartier.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like resolution 13-069 to be read by title and placed before council for its consideration.
Resolution 13-069, authorizing the execution of 6 purchase order contracts totaling $156,800.
Mr. Cartier.
Yes, Mr. President, members of council, in a nutshell, we reviewed this in the Finance Committee, but for the record, this 6 purchase orders combined together, $156,800, goes to the vendor for Newcastle County Libraries for upgrading with additional library books and materials for libraries, and I'll read the list. Claymont Library, Hokesson Library, Kirkwood Library, Woodlawn Library, Bear Library, Appaquinimic Library. And this is utilizing state aid to libraries funding. We're passing it through. It's great to see us continue to invest in our community libraries and district libraries, which are critical, important community assets serving the residents of Newcastle County.
Thank you, Mr. Cartier. Comments or questions from council? Public comment? If so, please come forward. Seeing none, floor is now closed. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Mrs. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll card reveals 13 yes.
Thank you. R13-070. Mr. Cartier.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like resolution 13-070, read by title only, placed before council for its consideration.
Resolution 13-070, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract totaling $37,000.
Mr. Cartier.
Yes, once again, reviewed previously in our finance committee this afternoon, but here on the floor for the public record, this PO is for the renewal of the annual technical services agreement for software maintenance and support for various ESRI, GIS software, including product support. Now, the ESRI vendor is the Environmental Systems Research Institute, which I'm told has the dominant vendor relationship and for GIS throughout the country. And this PO represents that annual technical agreement that we have to maintain the all-important GIS software for land use department, and also public safety also probably uses this as well.
Thank you, council. Comments or questions? Public, you have any comments? Please come forward at this time. Seeing none, the floor is now closed. Madam Clerk, please call the roll. Sorry.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll card reveals 13 yes.
Thank you. Now we're moving on to ordinances, beginning with 13-009. Mr. Smiley.
Yes, Mr. President. I request that ordinance 13-009 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration.
Second.
Ordinance 13-009, amend the annual operating budget, revised county council.
Mr. Smiley.
Yes, this ordinance increases county council's FY13 budget by $200,000, purchase of which is for the funds to be utilized to pay the cost of council's attorney fees and associated legal expenses going forward.
Council, questions or comments? Mr. Street.
Don't worry, I won't be long. I know I can't win this fight, but I will not be supporting this. I think it's premature, and we already approved $50,000, so now we're $250,000, and this, quite frankly, is council versus administration over Barley Mill. And I think that money can be better spent, and until we actually need it, I don't think it should be appropriated.
Thank you. And Mr. Smiley?
I'll just say, if we don't spend it, it goes back.
Any other comments or questions? Mr. Hollins?
Thank you, Mr. President. I certainly don't see this as an issue regarding the county executive or any other branch of government. I see it as a necessity that this county council has to protect itself to make certain that we have indemnification. We oftentimes vote on very contentious land use applications, and we're only here not because of choice, but because we have no choice. We were left without any representation. I think it's incumbent upon all of us to make certain that when we are sued, that we in fact have representation. It has nothing to do with anything other than that. We are in court, we are sued, and we have to pay for outside legal counsel. The outside legal counsel was not provided by the administration. As a matter of fact, the administration left us open without even telling us. So I don't see any way at all this has anything to do with other than representing the county council members who are caught up in a lawsuit And as far as ballot mail is concerned, I voted against it. But the fact of the matter is, we are being sued as a body.
Thank you, Mr. Hollins. Any other comments or questions? Mr. Street.
It still doesn't negate my point. It's premature until you actually need it, and it is about barley mill. Consent is about us being sued, but it's also, at the end of the day, it's about barley mill.
Mr. Smiley?
I'll just say, we have 4 more months left in this budget. We don't know what's going to come down the road. We don't know what funds are going to be expended. And I just think it's responsible for us as a council to have the funds on hand if we need to retain outside counsel for whatever reason. 4 months is a long time when it comes to what we go through and the potential for the need for outside counsel for any litigation. And again, if it's not spent, it goes back. Simple as that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think we need to remember that the law says that counsel is defended by the county law department. The county law department did not defend us, will not defend us, and we were forced to get outside counsel, which it is a cost to the taxpayers. But as a council, we do have a right to be defended when someone sues us, and this was our only option. So do we need the money today to pay for counsel? Probably not. Do we need it tomorrow? We may.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Councilmember Tackett.
Thank you, Mr. President. And just to make it clear that although this money is reallocating some funds in an amendment to the budget, when the monies are actually spent, it still will take another vote of this body.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Seeing none, public, you have a comment? Please come forward if you have a comment. Seeing none, the floor is now closed. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
No.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 12 yes, 1 no.
Thank you. Ordinance 13-010. Mr. Smiley?
Yes, I request that Ordinance 13-010 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration.
Second.
Ordinance 13-010, amend the FY 2013 approved operating budget, revise administration, appropriate $500,000 to the Office of Law for the Workers' Compensation Program.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes, as per title.
Council, you have questions or comments? Public comments, come forward. Seeing none, floor is now closed, Madam Clerk.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 13. Yes.
Thank you. Ordinance 12-046, Mr. Powers.
Yes, Mr. President. I move that Ordinance 12-046 be read by title only and placed before council for consideration.
Second.
Ordinance 12-046, revised zoning map, Blackbird 100, southwest side US 13, DuPont Parkway, northeast side, State Route 1, north of the State Route 1, US 13, exit 119, and across from Savannah Drive. 33.4 acres from SR Suburban Reserve to I Industrial, and to amend the comprehensive plan consistent therewith.
Mr. Powers.
Yes, we had a real big discussion last Tuesday on this. I guess if they all feel that the people introducing this should come up, I guess we'll have to come up and give a brief little bit on it. I know there's a lot of constituents here that want to speak on it too.
Thank you, Mr. Powers. Before we bring the public, council members, do you have any comments or questions? Seeing none, public comment, please come forward. please be advised that we will adhere to strict time restraints. Everyone has 3 minutes.
Not me.
Other than the applicant.
Yes. Good evening, Mr. President and members of council. Larry Tarabikas on behalf of the applicant, Waste Industries. We did have an extensive discussion last Tuesday, and all members of council were here for my presentation, so I will not make an extensive presentation tonight. I do want to cover some items. Also, I'd like to reserve some of my time for Mr. Thiempont, who is the manager of the Waste Industries facility. About 6 members of council got to hear from him last week, but everyone, they really would like to speak to council tonight. First of all, an update. Councilman Powers last week asked that I address some questions that came up about the declaration of restrictions to add some items. I do want to tell council that we did add some of the items. Specifically, we agreed to do the well monitoring for 10 years instead of 5 years. We agreed to include yard waste as a prohibition, as was discussed last week. We agreed to address rear movements in the maintenance bays. And finally, we agreed to make clear in the declaration that the Village of Savannah has enforcement rights. More importantly, what I would like to touch on tonight is to try to get us refocused, in spite of everything that's been seen and been said, on why we're here. This is a land use decision. There are recommendations from the Department of Land Use that are very well reasoned, very carefully written, and that outline all of the details of this application. In addition to that, what you need to be looking at, in my opinion, are 3 things. What is the character of the area where this proposal is being proposed? How does this particular property fit in to the character of the area? And is this proposal, as presented in the plan, sufficient to meet the needs and the safeguards requested by the Department of Land Use? When we talk about the character of the community, I want to talk about the properties that surround us. I want to talk about the uses that surround us. And let me make it very, very clear, because it was stated last week, two wrongs don't make a right. This isn't about two wrongs don't make a right. This is about what is the character of the community. Let me also be clear. Where I live, in my apartment, I live across from an auto body repair center, a glass center, a salvage yard, Grub Lumber, and several other uses, the Salvation Army as well. There are, next to me, $400,000 and $500,000 townhomes. That doesn't mean that the uses that are directly across from those townhomes are not acceptable. You look at, if a proposal comes along like this, where I live, you better look at the character of that community. What is the character of the community where I live? Is it $400,000 and $500,000 townhomes? No, it's much more than that. I called this community a hodgepodge of uses. Well, where I live is a hodgepodge of uses, and it always has been. And when you judge something, you don't judge it by one of those uses, which happens, by the way, to be an exception. The 400,000 and 500,000 townhomes next to me, next to my apartment, are an exception. Ed Osborne and his auto repair business, he's what's the standard there. Grub Lumber, the other uses, they've been there for many, many years. So we have to look at the character of the community. I'm showing you pictures, not because two wrongs make a right, but because the character of this community is important. What is along this community? There are industrial uses, commercial uses, Middell Auto Parts, and RV sales and rental. There are a number of different uses in the area, and it defines what's in the area. And so that's what we have to look at. The other thing that determines very much the character of the community is the volume and type of traffic that you have. Now, the communities requested that DLDOT clarify traffic in this area, and you all have the emails. And what we have, and I want to read it, along Route 1 and Route 7 in 2011, so it's more today, yes, 67,500 vehicles per day, 6,872 of those are trucks.
And then the community asked the question, well, what's the peak hour traffic on Route 13 right in front of this property? And the numbers actually were much higher than I even thought. The a.m. peak, just from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m., 1,408 vehicles in 1 hour, 143 of which are trucks. And the p.m. hour, from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m., 1,874 vehicles, 191 of which are trucks. Now, I presented to you last week some photographs from just two 45-minute periods where I counted trucks and took pictures, and the veracity and honesty of those pictures were questioned, which I didn't appreciate. So, we retained Mr. Bud Keegan, who is a professional photographer in Delaware for many, many years, and I sent Mr. Bud Keegan down there last Thursday from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m., excluding that 5 to 6 peak period, because we knew there's a lot of trucks then. And have they been distributed? I'm sorry. What we have, date and time stamped, and there's only 6 copies, so you'll have to share them. Mr. Keegan took pictures of 580 trucks in that time period. And so when we hear issues about conflict with school buses, traffic interfering with issues on Route 13, what you have is a significant amount of truck traffic. My pictures were questioned. These, and Mr. Keegan is here, and he can state on the record if you would like, but I brought him here tonight to affirm that this is an accurate statement and that he took these. Would you like that statement put on the record, or will you accept my word for that?
Just state if what I said was correct. State your name for the record.
My name is Bud Keegan, and everything you've heard from Larry a few minutes ago is absolutely true with regard to what I participated in.
Thank you.
So the traffic and the surrounding uses will tell you very much about what is the character of this community. The second thing you must look at is this property. This is a 33-acre island in between two major highways located a major interchange. You must determine and look and read the Department of Land Use recommendations and see that what's the best use and the proper use. And then finally, you have to look at our plan. This plan that's 56% open space, only a 15,000 square foot building on 33 acres with this type of buffering, berming, landscaping, and determine whether or not this use on this property in this area makes sense. And that's the issue. Not about one use, not about just the Del Dot Yard, not about just one residential community, but the entire character of the community. And does it make sense? So with that, I'm going to ask Mr. Thienpont to get up from Waste Industries and speak, just unless there's questions. I'm sorry, Mr. President.
Councilmember Cartier.
Yes, thank you. Mr. Terabicos, the perspective in these, or maybe your photographer can answer, the vantage point in these pictures of the traffic is from within the village of Savannah. Maybe if you could address just by orientation.
I position myself at the exact intersection of the access to Savannah Village and Route 13.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Terabicos? Mr. Cartier.
I'm sorry, I had one more question.
Follow up, please.
If you could go to the proposed site plan of the new project.
Yeah.
All right. Just for review purposes, the top of the site plan, that's 13 there, I guess.
That's correct.
Okay. From the edge of that property into the site, what's the distance to the parking lot?
I believe this distance is roughly 400 feet to the edge of the parking lot. Is that correct? Yeah, 412 feet. The number sticks in my mind. Yes.
So you're shifting the orientation of the development on the site to the opposite side of the site from the village of Savannah.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Any Any other questions for Mr. Terabicus from the council? Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you. Alan Theonpont. I am the general manager for Waste Industries of Delaware. I oversee 100 employees. There's a few items I'd like to address tonight. First, I want to start with safety. It's been brought up a lot. There's been a lot of concern from the opposition in regards to the safety of their kids, and I understand this concern. I, too, am a father. I have a 4-year-old daughter, a 1-year-old son. Most all of my employees have kids, so we understand their concern for the safety of children. But as I've stated before, not only am I responsible for the safety of all 100 of my employees, but every single member of the general public that we come in contact with day in and day out. Couple things to add, not even 0.2 miles from my current facility is an elementary school that every single one of my trucks drive past at a minimum of 2 times a day, not to mention every other school in the state of Delaware. As I said last week, 85% of my business is residential, which means all of my employees all day long are going in and out of residential communities, just like and including the villages of Savannah. I have customers in the villages of Savannah. Safety is a top priority for Waste Industries. It is for myself and all of my employees. We take it very seriously. We have numerous things. We have a thing called Drive Cam in all of our trucks, which are video cameras that sit on the windshields of our trucks and record not only in and out inside the cab, but outside, and it's used for training purposes and or review of any accidents that occur. We actively use Drive Cam day in and day out. We have something we call safety lane every day where our trucks come into our yard. It is a requirement that every truck go through safety lane, where that employee has to get out of the truck, walk around the truck with a mechanic and a member of management to talk about any safety hazards on the truck, cleanliness of the truck, along with other items. We have biweekly calls in our company where every manager in the company has to get on a call and talk about safety with every upper management, including the president of our company. That's how serious safety is to Waste Industries and to me and to all of my employees. Another thing I'd like to talk about is appearance. Throughout this whole process, which has been going on for quite some time now, we've been compared and called some of our competitors throughout this whole thing. One of the things I take most pride in is that I'm not those companies that we were called. Waste Industries holds ourselves to a lot higher standards than some of our competitors when it comes to our appearance, and that's from our employees who are required to wear uniforms. One of my employees is here to speak today. You can see he's in his uniform. The fleet that we operate, we have an average age of our fleet that we do not let our trucks get to a certain age. We keep new trucks. Same with our containers. Our trucks and our containers are billboards for our company. Of course, we want them to look good to represent our company. The facilities we operate, I take extreme pride in the cleanliness and the organization of my branch and for our company. We are in our business. We have to meet state, local, and federal regulatory things, and in most cases, Waste Industries holds standards that are higher than all of these. Yesterday, some pictures were taken of Maryland facility and my facility over the weekend. So I applaud the people who went out and took pictures. They finally went and looked at our locations. They sent some pictures to every member of council, and I'd like to address some of the things that were in there and some of the comments that were made. When I saw these pictures, I was proud. The Maryland facility, they took a picture of every single truck in line, parked nice, no trash anywhere on the property. Out of 2 yards of over 100 trucks, they found 2 trucks with some debris. I say debris because that was not trash. There was no trash inside of those trucks. When you have compaction trucks or containers, when the compaction blades move, cardboard, stuff like that, goes over things, gets stuck in the two blades, what I call the knuckle. So there was no trash on that truck on any of those pictures. What it showed was some cardboard that was stuck on top of the ejector blade. They took a picture at my facility of a bag stuck on a barbed wire. Took a picture of some bags stuck in some trees in the front parking lot of the Hartford office. Both of these, what they didn't take was all the other pictures. Right down the street from my facility at the end of my road is a junkyard. It has absolutely nothing to do with Waste Industries. It has been said it's part of my company from the very beginning and has nothing to do with Waste Industries. I'm the biggest opponent of complaining about that site. Every time I see somebody there, I call the town of Townsend. You know, I let them know when somebody's back there dumping. That bag very well blew from that site. The bags that were in Hartford, it's on the side of a major highway, just like the site we're trying to buy, just like the site that Villages of Savannah was on. I took a point after I got that email. I drove down to the property we're looking at in the Villages of Savannah, and there was more trash stuck on their side and on the side of the property we're looking at now, just because it's on the side of the highway. Might have assumed that came from my facility. No. You know, that just because there's a picture of a bag of trash stuck on some trees doesn't mean that we at Waste Industries or a piece of bag stuck on a fence mean that we run a dirty operation. They talk about some containers back on my yard that were stacked day high. There's a reason. We have absolutely no room in my yard. I'm on 4 acres. I'm busting at the seam. There's a reason we're trying to buy more land. Those cans are stacked that high because I have nowhere else for them to go. If we had room like the Hartford facility, it would be nice and neatly organized in the roll-off containers that were nice and neatly organized in the pictures they took. There was pictures of saying what neighbors were going to have to look at when they talked about construction equipment. That is my landlord. Has absolutely nothing to do with Waste Industries. This is another reason we're trying to move to a piece of property that we sit on by ourselves without our landlord. That construction equipment has nothing to do with Waste Industries. So, I don't think the pictures they sent and the comments they made represent anything about how we operate a business or how we keep our yard clean. I take very much pride in my facility and everything I do. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions?
Any questions? Audience, you don't ask questions. You have to stand in line, please, for public comment. We'll start here with Mr. Smiley, Mr. Bell,
I
Mr. Cartier.
I already know the answers, but I'd like to get them on the record from you.
Yes, sir.
Your drivers, all CDL qualified?
Yes, sir.
Would you consider the obtaining of a CDL license far more difficult and restrictive than a regular driver's license?
Yes, sir.
In accordance with Department of Transportation regulations, your company runs a random drug testing?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Bell?
Asked probably about three or four of the questions, so we're all thinking of the same line. But the question I have, and I know it was entered on the record last week at Land Use Committee meeting, but your hiring practice of hiring drivers, what type of, do they get any background or anything done prior to hiring?
Yes, sir. We do pre-employment background tests. We do e-verifications. We do pre-employment drug tests. And as he said, we do random drug tests as well, drug and alcohol.
Cartier.
Thank you. You spoke previously about how on this site you currently occupy that containers were stacked and that you were, you know, basically didn't have enough room. Now, I'd like you to comment on this site, which is proposed for a, you know, yard for your facility or your business. I'd like to comment on what your growth potential is here, also on, you know, potential hiring, new employment, so forth.
Growth potential, I don't know that I can answer that in quantitative. There's a lot of potential for growth, and that's why we need a facility to expand. And yes, for hiring, as we grow, we will be hiring Delaware residents.
Thank you.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes. Would you comment on the view over your berm from the homes in Savannah? You know, the distance, of course, is an ameliorating factor. How high is the berm? Let me start off preliminarily. How high is the berm and how wide is the berm?
The berm is 6 feet high on the width. I'm not 100% sure.
Well, significant, the six-foot berm would require a 18, four times, 24-foot width, okay, 24, 6 by 24, but above
So above the six-foot berm, you then have the landscaping, and the landscaping is very specific to provide 0.8 opacity.
0.8 is very thick.
It's very thick.
Right. Now, one of the questions I want to ask is, from the second-story window of the houses in Savannah, when the vegetation is mature in a few years, what would the view they have of the structure, building or the trucks, if you know?
Well, we did, and we talked about this with the folks at Duffield. They should see nothing, because remember, the deed restrictions require that we plant a berm on their side of Route 13 as well. So if they ask for it, they have to actually request it. But if they request, right now on the other side of 13, there is a 20-foot-wide landscape easement. That exists. So we can plant in there. That would limit it to about 4 feet unless we get right-of-way from DLDOT. Hopefully Senator Ennis can help us with that. And if we get additional right-of-way from DLDOT, then we can plant an even larger berm on their side as well. So when you combine that, and don't forget, what hides the view the most is distance. The closest home in the village of Savannah is 1,170 feet to this building. So with the berm and mature landscaping above it, you're going to see very little, if anything. And you have perfect examples of that, that you were part of, Councilman Weiner and Brandywine 100, in design of even shopping centers that are very difficult to see from even a couple hundred feet away.
Also, Council President Phil Cluter and I worked with AstraZeneca to make sure the trees along Concord Pike in the summertime would block the view of AstraZeneca from Fairfax and Deerhurst.
So berms and landscaping, it's the landscaping above the berms, frankly, that do more of the shielding.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. Any other questions? Councilmember Retta.
Thank you, Mr. President. Anyone who can answer, it was stated about the containers that you had stacked at your other facility where you're at now, how high they are. Where in the drawing up here is your containers going to be, and how high are they going to be stacked?
What they were referring to, first of all, was residential containers that were actually, they're stacked and ready to be scrapped. They wait for an 18-wheeler to come pick them up, and they're taken back to be recycled. But, I don't know how this works.
Yeah, right, the red laser, yeah.
This right here is designed for container storage of roll-off and or front-load containers. And as I said, what we do in a facility where we have room is we nice, neatly stack our residential containers, which when they come brand new on an 18-wheeler, they come stacked seven high. The wheels are off. They're all in each other. We keep them like that, and we stack them nicely into a 30-yard roll-off and just put them on the yard so they would be in. Is that me? Oh, I'm sorry. They would be in that same area. In one of the roll, they'd be in multiple roll-off boxes so that they're nice and neat.
Okay, 37 high, how high would that be from ground up?
Well, they have to fit legally inside of an 18-wheeler. I'm not sure if that's, if I had to guess, it's 8 feet. Honestly, I'm not sure.
Okay. And you're going to have
96 inches, somebody's saying.
So. 8 feet. But in back of the, going towards the highway, you have trees and all that are going to be there?
Correct.
Not there, the other side.
Oh, here.
Right there by the parking lot.
Oh, yeah.
Right there.
Yes.
So you're going to have trees and all there, and then you're going to have the berm over towards 13.
Yes, sir. Two berms.
Right?
Here.
Okay.
And here.
Thank you.
Councilmember Tackett, then Councilmember Powers.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Yes.
Mr. Terabicus, would you propose to leave this land? Are you going to mow that, or is that going to be left to go natural?
No, I think that will have to be grass, and that will be maintained. That will be mowed. There will be exist some the vegetation that's in here will not be, and as we said, it will be fairly deep into the site. But no, the rest of this will be grass, and it will be maintained.
And approximately from the edge of this parking lot to the back of a home in the community, about what is the distance?
Well, the closest home, which I believe is Ms. Watson's home, is 1,170 feet from this building to Edith Watson's home. Measured, it's on one of the plans we have, and that's the closest home.
Thank you.
Mr. Powers.
Just continuing on what Councilman Retta, what type of trees will be planted in that?
In the berm?
Around there in the berm.
I'm going to confess that I don't know, but if Mario or Jeff want to come forward, let Jeff Bross come forward.
And I've got another, just so, if you go back to where...
Yeah. Site plan?
Yeah, no, to where the trash is. That's E.T. Buffington's. He has the farm next to it.
Yes.
Trash is blowing into his place.
That's right. Oh yeah, this is not our property. Mr. Thienpont went out to take pictures. When you see trash blown on someone's property, it can come from anywhere. We don't know where this trash came from. Yeah. Type of vegetation.
Can you put the shearing back up?
Councilman Powers, Jeff Bross with Duffield Associates. This rendering is an attempt to be as pictorially accurate as we can make it. And so you can see the predominance of the vegetation is evergreen, obviously, for seasonal year-round screening, with a mix of other deciduous trees and shrubs. Again, all native plants consistent with the county code requirements.
So they would be hardwoods and pines?
Yes, sir.
The pines,
pines and other evergreens.
Pines will grow pretty quick.
Right.
And then the hardwoods will come on.
Pines, spruces, firs. I mean, obviously, we try not to have a monoculture as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes, question for Mr. Bross.
Yes, Councilman Weiner.
Of course, the Newcastle County Unified Development Code sets forth in all of its opacity standards the type of vegetation which is approved, but the UDC also permits suggestions to be made as well, and the developer, of course, has some flexibility as to which he might pick. Would the applicant be willing to work with the community on the selection of vegetation to go into the berm and buffer?
Yes, I think we would within limits. I mean, because candidly, this was designed by a professional landscape architect and horticulturist.
Yes.
And its intent was to make sure that it was resistant to disease, resistant to drought. And so to the extent we can put those kind of conditions on it, we'd be happy to do that, especially if we can work on the berm on the Village of Savannah side, because that, if you will, would be their berm. And if they have certain plant preferences, you certainly could accommodate there, I would think.
Thank you.
Mr. Powers.
What age and what size tree, especially on the immigrant?
I would have to refer you to the official landscape plan, but suffice it to say that these are trees that typically are in the 4 to 7 foot range. Sometimes the deciduous ones may be 2 to 4 inch caliper, so they could be in the 8 to 12 foot range. So, but
accomplish 0.8.
Yes, sufficient. We have to have 0.8 at planting, Councilman Powers.
0.8 at
opacity at planting.
Planting.
Yes, sir.
Prior to CO.
If there are no other comments or questions. Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Thank you. I just have one question. Last week, we talked a lot in committee about the lack of communication with the community. Since then, noticing that you've changed some of the deed restrictions or enhanced some of the deed restrictions, is that because you have had real discussions with the community, or just were you picking that up out of emails that came to us?
No, Mr. Dryden sent us some comments. I know that Ms. Watson, who's the president of the Homeowner Association, sent the deed from the email I saw. She sent them to everybody and asked if they had any comments. I didn't receive any others. And then Mr. Dryden informed me today, which I think he's probably told me before, but I thought in this case he was speaking for the community. Today he said he was only speaking for himself.
Because I think that's
so the
important.
Comments that we incorporated were from one person.
Okay, because I think it's important so that you don't get in, or we somehow don't end up in the situation where it's, well, he said that, but that really wasn't mine, that the community come together as a whole through their association if they're going to have discussions on any of these points.
That's true.
Thank you. Mr. Smiley?
Yeah, a question was asked last week. I'm sure the comment will be made again today, so rather than have it come up and be left hanging until you get back up, you mentioned the berm at the Villages of Savannah. The question last week was, if they agreed and you installed that, who would maintain it?
Well, that's a good question because that's not addressed in the recommendations from the Land Use Department. I don't know what the answer to that is, Councilman. Frankly, if it's on that side of the property, then without an agreement to the contrary, I would say that it's their obligation to maintain it. Although, you know, if we had meetings and if we had had discussions, I'm not saying that we wouldn't have agreed to it. But I'm just telling you, I haven't had communication on that. And the recommendation simply asked us to put a berm in if it's requested and to make it even bigger if we can get right away from DelDOT.
I just prefer to have that out there now.
Yes, and that's a good question.
Have it hanging near the end. Thank you.
I appreciate the clarification so that it that should be clear.
Thank you, applicant.
Thank you.
Public comment, please come forward. Please be advised you will be held to a 3-minute limit. The red light on the podium will conclude your statements. Please state your name for the record, please.
Yes, my name is James Manlove. Good evening, council members. My name is James Manlove. I've been in solid waste for about 4 years now. I'm an employee at Waste Industries in Townsend, Delaware. I'm here to represent myself and others that are in support of the rezoning in Smyrna. Many of my coworkers and myself rely on a great salary and the benefits of this job to support our families. In the current economy, we strongly urge to consider promoting good-paying jobs in Delaware and Newcastle County. We would love to continue to provide quality service to our neighbors in Newcastle County and to see Waste Industries continue to expand and thrive. I'm proud to serve my neighbors and my community, and every employee at Waste Industry takes their job very seriously. Many of you might work in offices, and your tools are your computers, your pens, your filing cabinets. Our tools are our trucks. Just as you might organize your filing cabinet or update your computer, my coworkers and I work very hard to ensure that our trucks remain clean and safe operating condition. Our trucks are inspected daily and are cleaned out and dumped at designated disposal sites. During the 4 years that I've been at the current site in Townsend, I've been with Waste Industry for 2 years and with the previous company 2 years to that in the same location. From my knowledge of just being there at that location, we have not had any comments from the local community pertaining to, you know, our volume of trucks, our site, or anything of that nature. In closing, on behalf of myself, my fellow coworkers at Waste Industry, I urge you to support the Smyrna rezoning. Thank you.
Thank you. Next. Next, please. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you. My name is Charles Meehan, and I'm a business owner right on 13 North, a little bit south of the truck weigh station. I don't think it's big news that there's a lot of trucks on 13. I spend extra money to have my business on 13 for the traffic, for the access. I think everybody else does there too. And you might imagine, I spend a lot of time going up and down 13. Every type of business you can imagine is on 13. I don't think there's any secret there as well. It's a busy road. And if you told me that you were going to put a neighbor across the street from me that was going to leave in the morning and come back at the end of the day, I wouldn't even blink. I don't even think I'd notice. I think it'd be fine. Thank you.
Thank you. Next. Please state your name for the record, sir.
Hi, my name's Fred Drake, Jr. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I own Fred Drake Automotive at 4195 DuPont Highway in Townsend. We are a salvage yard. Unlike the junkyards that they've been showing you guys, we're not a junkyard, we're a salvage yard. We do the towing for the state and county police. We've been there over 27 years. Everybody remembers back in the day before they opened up Route 1, Route 13 was bumper to bumper on a Friday night, Saturday, Sunday. Plenty of business, plenty of family businesses from Odessa to Smyrna that you could stop in and get some seafood, get your tackle to go fishing. Well, the day that Route 1 opened up, it's gone. All the traffic left. I know numerous businesses that have had to fold or move from the area because there's no support. And we have a company such as Waste Industries that wants to come in and put their business on Route 13. I feel as though we couldn't have a better person. We're from Townsend. Like I said, we've been here 27 years. A lot of people, a lot of the locals come in and talk and hang around, pick up parts, and I have yet to hear anybody say anything bad about the Waste Industries. Their drivers are polite. Their trucks are courteous. They're clean. I had the occasion today to go over and inspect the facility myself. I've done work in the past for BFI, for waste management, all the big trash companies. Their yards are terrible. Their yard had less trash in it than some of the county parks that I play softball in. So, and the berms that they're proposing are far better than the berms that are in place at Bayberry. I mean, it's like night and day. You pull into their facility, it looks like you're pulling into a retirement home. I'm all for it. And like I said, been there 27 years, and I hope there are more industries head down that part of the country. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Next, please. Please state your name for the record, ma'am.
My name is Peggy Schultz. I'm speaking this evening on behalf of the League of Women Voters of Newcastle County. Level 4 lands, those set aside for agriculture and open space, are at a premium in Newcastle County. If you look down over there and at the state strategies for policies and spending map of the county, you'll see that it's mostly red, orange, and yellow, meaning that most of the county is designated as a growth area constituted of levels 1, 2, and 3. The rezoning request, which council is considering tonight, is aimed at reducing the area of scarce level 4 lands even more. If the designation of land into areas reserved for agriculture and open space is to mean anything, we must draw the line. If we had any indication at all that there were some level 1 areas that were being downzoned in exchange for the upzoning of this particular request, we might see things differently, but this is not the case. Sprawl such as this necessitates added infrastructure and services paid for by all the citizens of the state and increased expenditures of carbon dioxide to reach development in an ever-lengthening radius. The Office of State Planning Coordination registered a negative response to the project in its preliminary land use service report. They point out that the subject 33.4 acres comprising this property are in level 4 lands and for that reason alone should not be developed. They further indicate several historical and archaeological concerns about the property that suggest its unsuitability for development. Still another issue is the location of the site in the Smyrna River watershed with a 40% reduction target in nitrogen and phosphorus from baseline conditions. The report implies that this target would be at risk should this development take place. Please vote against this rezoning request.
Thank you. Question, ma'am? Mr. Weiner? Yes.
I share your passion for protection of Zone 4. The question that I have to answer myself is whether the state made a mistake in not zoning this a different level because it's surrounded by highway, and I don't think it's practical for a farmer for houses. So that's the question I'm grappling with.
Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Next, please. Please state your name for the record, sir.
My support.
All right.
my name is John LaRue. I live at 512 Main Street, which is like a stone's throw
from Waste Industries. I've been there for about a year now. The first month, I heard the trucks leave in the morning, because I'm up at 4 o'clock in the morning, because I go to work like a lot of people do. And after that, it's like second nature. I may hear one here, one there. I come home at 3:30 in the afternoon, and they're all coming back from their runs. Well, not all of them, but a majority of them. And I'm walking up to my house, and they're waving, smiling. Bunch of nice people. I have no foul odors in the hottest days of last summer, and it was pretty damn hot. And I don't have central air. I have no rodent problems. I have no trash coming from their facility. I hear them watching their trucks every night. They have a groundskeeper that goes in, sweeps their parking lot on the weekends, and everything else. As far as I'm concerned, they're great neighbors. I've never had a problem in a year that I've lived there. That's about all I got to say.
Thank you.
Sit down.
Next, please. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Jim Black. And I'm here tonight representing myself. What we have before us is really quite simple. Larry's made a great case. There's beautiful pictures. He's created a great story. But when it comes right down to it, I live in North Wilmington. My neighborhood's a hodgepodge. Where Larry lives is a hodgepodge. Down Route 13 is a hodgepodge. Where, you know, there's only a few places in Newcastle County that you couldn't categorize as a hodgepodge. When the county puts together its comprehensive plan and figures out where they want to put things and designates an area as agricultural, I think we ought to listen to them and keep that area agricultural until a company like Waste Industries, which is a great company, handling waste can be a very dirty job. They do an excellent job. They have a very good business model. But I don't think they've made the case that in the hodgepodge that's Newcastle County, is that really the only place that they could put it? You can't say that there isn't an industrial commercial zoned area in the county where their business would fit. Just because it's going to cost them more money isn't a reason that you should create a variance for them so that they can put this industrial facility in an ag zoned area. And the question about a farmer can get in there and farm that. I mean, 34 acres isn't a great place to put a crop in, but you can get your tractor in there. You could plow it and grow a crop in there. But that's all I have to say. I encourage you to think about this very hard because it's going to create a slippery slope. You create a variance for this industrial use as pretty as they're making it, and then that opens up a can of worms that anybody can come along with a set of pretty pictures and take over any of the green space, the very limited green space we've got left here in the county. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Please refrain from cheering, please. Thank you so much. Next. Please state your name for the record.
I'm sure. Michelle Moss, the village of Savannah. I live on 111 Savannah Drive. These were for somebody else, but I figured I want to put them up. I changed what I wanted to say. Sorry. As you see, the pictures are more than one truck. I'm sorry we didn't make copies. Someone else was going to use them. Also, the other pictures are of some of our homes. I have more in my bag. They were taken at 4 p.m. today. Not one piece of garbage. Mr. Boyle, do you have the picture I sent you? No. Oh, okay. Well, okay. I'm sorry. Okay. Listen, I've sent so much information, so many emails, so many facts. All I want you to think about the reason, the number one reason that I've been so vocal, my opposition in this. Two of them are in the audience, my three daughters. Okay? Because when you buy your home, you don't think about having to protect your children's safety and health in their home. Your home should be somewhere that you're safe and that you're well taken care of. Now, I'm sorry.
It's all right.
I can only stand here and fight for the 34 children in my neighborhood and the more up on 13 and for my neighbors and my friends. I could only fight. That's the only power I have. You guys took an oath that gave you more power than me. It gave you the power to protect us. Protect my children's water. Protect them being safe. You're putting that in their backyard. We've been here 3 years. We've brought two family members to build houses in Smyrna. We got two others that we convinced to move by us because we love this state so much. What am I going to turn around now and tell them I don't feel safe in my own home? That I have to test my own water every week because you can't smell it, you can't taste it, you can't touch it if it's poison. That's all I have to say. Please think about our families. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, please. Please state your name for the record, sir.
My name is Sean Crow, and I'm a resident in the village of Savannah. I would just like to read a statement. Ladies and gentlemen of the council, my name is Sean Crow, and I'm speaking tonight to represent myself and my wife, Patricia. We have been residents in the village of Savannah since November of 2002. We are in opposition of the rezoning of the properties that are across from the village of Savannah on Route 13. We wish to make clear that we are for the jobs. However, we find ourselves in agreement with the State of Delaware Press Report as well as the Delaware Economic Development Office. Both have stated that they are also for the jobs and their creation, provided that they are done in the appropriate location. Plus, the Plus report clearly states that the parcels in question are an investment level 4 and would be inconsistent with the current certified Newcastle County Comprehensive Plan. We do wish to make clear that in no way we are dictating that we have the right to tell Waste Industries what lands they may or may not purchase. However, we are exercising our right to voice our opposition to the rezoning of these parcels from suburban residential to industrial. As stated in the Plus report, after review, the state feels this would be better suited for an existing industrial site away from existing residential areas. We find ourselves in agreement with the above statement in that such a proposed site would cause dramatic impact on the quality of life on the immediate and surrounding residents due to the increase in heavy truck traffic, noise, foul odors, loose trash, vermin, and possible contamination of wells. I have lived in Smyrna since July of 1975 and can say most confidently the prevailing winds are from the west. As the village of Savannah and the residents along Route 13 are located due east of the proposed project, it would be a subject to the receipt of loose trash and foul odors from such proposed project. At the workshop hearing on February 19, 2013, it was stated by the chairman that his understanding was that if the rezoning of these parcels was not approved, the Waste Industries would relocate to Maryland. The applicant's attorney stated that this was not so, as he had done so previously at the July 17, 2012 land use hearing when asked the same question. At the workshop held February 19, 2013 also, it was stated that the DelDOT facility located approximately a half a mile north of the proposed project justifies this rezoning as an eyesore and a source to contaminate the aquifer. We do agree it is an eyesore, and improvements could be made to it. It was stated that the aquifers are underground rivers and that most flow from north to south, and that possible contamination with DelDOT facility should be of great concern to the residents south of it. Upon investigation of the statement on the aquifers, it was found to be inaccurate.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
We have your Thank you.
Mr. President.
Thank you. Question, sir.
I had a question.
Mr. Cartier. Yes.
Getting to the issue of water, groundwater contamination. How deep are the wells that most residential folks in the village of Savannah?
I have been told approximately 180 to 200 plus feet deep. I understand it's in the second chamber, below what's considered water table.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
One follow-up,
Mr. question. Weiner.
Yes. The deep well aquifers in your area, do you know the depth?
Offhand, I can't honestly say I do.
I believe they're 700 feet.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Powers.
Just to answer, one of them's at 700. If you're at 180, the first aquifer, if you're on Falsington soil, is at 0 to 5 feet. Your next aquifer is probably at 20 feet. There's a lot more aquifers than the second. Now, that may be a major confined aquifer that you're in the second one. Each confined one is clay layers keeping it from contaminating the other one.
Correct. So, correct, an aquitard.
And so unconfined would be the ones above it.
Right.
And there's
that is
a lot
the water
of
table
going up through there. On general, even what you show, I've been on Denrick's water quality for the state of Delaware. They all are running that way. There's one that goes east to west underneath the Chesapeake Bay that they pump out of down in southern Kent County, the Potomac aquifer. But the majority of them are going that way.
Yes, that's the general direction, but it can also flow out east to west in particular areas while it flows north to south.
One thing about aquifers, the state of Delaware doesn't know. Every time they drill a well driller has to tell them what they're hitting as they're going. It's an ongoing thing because we don't know exactly what they are. But to say I'm wrong, we will go to them. I can get somebody here, and I wish I had known that to prove that I'm not wrong. All I'm saying, I do know that where the Delta Dot site is, knowing the farm, it's Rumford Sand. Rumford Sand is in Felton and Harrington. It's a really sandy soil. It's the only farm in Newcastle County with that much sand. The reason they dug it up was to build Route 1. That's why it's a wet hole right now. But that soil will penetrate. It's unconfined and will move quicker than on a Falsington clay that is a clay, white clay, usually a foot to 3 foot thick. And I'll bet any money, and somebody had brought up about farming that piece of property in the back, that if without the proper ditching, which it doesn't have, it is not one of the best farms in the area. The farmer that farms it called me personally to tell me that.
Thank you, Mr. Powers. Mr. Cartier?
Yes. I know that you're concerned about your drinking water, and that's a serious concern. I want to just ask you, if you're aware that modern site development under our code, where the proposal is to create a lot of parking lot, are you aware of the fact that drainage from a parking lot like that is conveyed to a stormwater management facility? Are you aware that that is part of the standard today?
Is a stormwater facility available for this?
Yes.
Right.
There is a stormwater. You could see that pond.
Oh, yes, I've seen
okay.
It. Yes.
Now, that's a blue area. It's probably, I'm not going to comment on that. It probably isn't going to be a wet pond. But in addition to the fact that they convey that to that facility, that can affect as a control on pollution emitting from the parking lot. So, I guess for you, that gives you no confidence that this can allay the fears of groundwater contamination from the site? Does that give you any confidence that that could happen? That in fact it will happen?
That what will happen? That it will contaminate the aquifer?
No,
that it won't.
That it won't.
It is a bit of a reassurance, yes. I can't say it's not. If you're going to run the water off in that direction and management, yes, it would be.
All these sites today have very strict compliance with Denrec regulations and our own regulations. But I just wanted to address your fear about groundwater contamination, because I think it's a palpable and real thing. And just to kind of get a sense, convey a sense to you about that, this council cares about that, but sites today are developed in such a way as to minimize and eliminate that problem. I guess that's what I wanted to convey to you. That drawing up there with that blue area gives you an idea of the facility that's going to have to be built and maintained here to manage the runoff from the parking lot, which we know will have oils in it, will have probably radiator fluid in it. You know, that's an unavoidable thing when you have a motor vehicle.
Thank you, Mr. Carter. Mr. Weiner?
Yes. You're the president of the Civic Association? Or?
No, sir.
Okay. Oh, you're a resident. Okay.
In no way, shape, or form.
Okay. But you do have a community group.
There is. It's not a civic association, as I know it. It's a maintenance corporation.
Right. It pains me that there wasn't communications with the applicant and his attorney concerning the opportunity to have a berm on the Savannah side with maintenance in perpetuity at the cost of the applicant. There are only minutes for that opportunity before the opportunity slips away. You know, I don't want to predict which way council will vote or not, but in negotiations, you may want to consider worst-case scenario if something gets approved. It's best for you to have the best lines of defense, sort of literally and figuratively. So I just want to mention that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Weiner. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bullock.
Yes, sir. Next, please. Please state your name for the record. Be mindful of the time. 3-minute limit. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Andrew Pearson. I live in the village of Savannah. I am opposed to this rezoning, but I would like to say that I'm not opposed to Waste Industries growing as a company and providing a larger facility for their employees. I just think it would be better if it was in another location. And I'm horrible at public speaking, so I apologize. Over the past couple weeks, I've emailed a lot of you, and one of the things that I emailed was an article on a diesel fuel spill, 1,600 gallons at a DelDOT facility. Now, if the mileage per year that I'm quoting is off, then someone from Waste Industries can correct me, but a garbage truck gets about 3 miles a gallon, and if it goes 2,500 miles a year, you're talking about 8,300 gallons of diesel fuel for one truck. This site has a capacity to hold 100 trucks. So you're talking about over 750,000 gallons of diesel fuel being transferred at that site. Is that the type of operation that should be right across the street from where families live? Right now, there's no potential from this site to pollute our water supply, and the members of council have the opportunity to keep it that way. I want to quote the gentleman from Towns End that runs the Waste Industry site there. He said that his trucks and his containers are a billboard for his company. Well, that's how they left it over the weekend for their neighbors. That's how they left it. So I don't think that that's a good example of advertisement for your company. Thanks for listening to my concerns.
Thank you. Next, please.
Hello. My name is Hope Jennings. I live in the village of Savannah. I am opposed to the land rezoning to industrial for Waste Industries. And I just want to make a quick little comment about the whole berm situation, whether people, you know, two stories high, looking out the window. I am affected. I am at 8 Grant Lane. My bathroom window, second story, looks over that whole property. I have perfect view. And there was existing trees there, but it's probably tall as my house, not taller. I can see Route 1 from there. So don't tell me some 6-foot berm and with trees, and you can't even tell me what kind of landscape I'm going to get. It's going to cover that site that I got to look out at every day. Anyways, I'd like to call attention to Newcastle County Executive Tom Gordon's website. A few of his campaign promises are restore public safety as a top priority. This can be done by protecting the neighboring citizens from allowing the land to be zoned industrial and eliminating the potential for polluting our water supply. Next one is restore quality of life protection of the Unified Development Code. Neighborhoods and massive truck yards do not mix. And there's another thing on here, he says, end pay for play land use politics. Well, I'm not sure what he meant by this, but I just believe voters should be able to be confident that their government officials have their best interests at heart and that they will not be swayed by corporate promises of tax revenues and jobs. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, please.
Good evening. My name is Elizabeth Sirant. I came to this country with one suitcase in pursuit of American dream. 32 years later, I'm here at 116 Savannah Drive. After working for many years for major medical company, medical diagnostic company, I'm looking to retire and spend time exploring the opportunity to open small business while I'm still active. My home on 5+ acres in Savannah seemed like my definition of American dream. My husband and I really enjoy slower, more relaxed lifestyle here. Recently, we have purchased building parcel at 585 Smyrna Landing to help our daughter and her family build her daydream home next to us. However, the prospect of odor from 45, 75, or maybe 100 or more trucks and huge dumpsters baking in the August sun across the street from us is not very appealing to many, and I can't blame them. If this proposed zoning goes through, it will open floodgates for further industrial expansion on that land. I'm very concerned about that. This rezoning is just to get their foot in the door. Here we are, the big company represented by big lawyer, and the residents represented by you, council members. We are the constituents and taxpayers. We are asking you to support us and protect our safety, health, quality of life, and property value. I'm here to voice my opposition to the proposed rezoning, as well as ensure my concerns are documented. We don't want to spend money on lawyers and lawsuits. We want to go shopping. We want to buy roofs and new windows for our homes. We want to buy toys for our children and go out to eat. There is a public perception that there is no point to come here and voice our concerns today, because people believe it's a done deal.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you. The last five speakers will conclude, and then we will move. If there's someone else, please stand over there. Then we will move for the vote. Please state your name.
Hi, Olivia Fritz.
And I hear, I just want to thank everyone for allowing me to speak today and just to express my opposition to this rezoning. To start, I work and live in the Newcastle County area, as well as I graduated with my undergraduate degree and my graduate degree in Newcastle County. I'm a taxpayer as well as a voter here. Again, as a resident, I put my faith and trust in the elected officials that I helped elect to make the tough ethical choices that impact each and every one of us. So, as my mom stated, they've recently purchased a building parcel at 585 Smyrna Landing on my behalf, which is going to be the site of my brand new dream home for my family. So again, the point of this home was really to be closer to my parents, but also have a safe environment for the two boys that I have sitting here today. So I just want to talk about just some of the concerns that I have here about the proposed rezoning. Number one is the odor. You know, regardless of whether or not the trucks are empty or full, I can just tell you from my current trash receptacles in the summertime when they're emptied, there is an odor, and we're required to wash them out and things like that, but there's still a smell. And this is just one trash receptacle that I have at home. My next concern is the number of trash trucks driving to and from the facility daily. They're not only going to be around the same school buses that my children will now be on, but also around the small car that I drive. So, if this company is allowed to rezone, there's also additional significant risks to myself and my family's health. This is well water here, and all it takes is one accidental spill or anything to contaminate all of our water. So the bottom line here is that I'm not going to probably consider building my home on this property that we just purchased if this rezoning comes through. So I just hope that the concerns of the residents are, you know, heard, and that big business is not able to, you know, kind of stand over innocent residents. So just want to thank everyone. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator.
Thank you, President Bullock, and members of the Newcastle County Council. I'm State Senator Bruce Ennis from the 14th District, and I'm here tonight on behalf of the constituents who live or reside closest to the area that we're speaking of here tonight. On their behalf, I oppose the project. While both they and I certainly support economic development and job growth, we don't believe due diligence was used in considering other available sites in Lower Newcastle County. Councilman Hatton and others from the city of Townsend would love to retain this business in their community and have offered to continue to look for additional properties, possibly some adjoining that existing location, to keep them in Townsend. In fact, we talked about Middle, Auto Parts, and various other locations, business locations in the area. Middle, by the way, is for sale, and it's already zoned for this type of business. I'll speed it up. Tonight constitutes about the fifth meeting I've been to on this issue. Way back from the community meetings that we've had in that community of Village of Savannah up to last week, the workshop, and here tonight. You've heard the constituents' concerns, and although Waste Industries has agreed to certain operational restrictions, which we call covenants, I guess, desired by the community, that necessarily doesn't mean support for the application. In spite of public opposition, it's not unusual to make such requests should the applicants find that this proposal is approved. The property is a suburban reserve and considered level 4, as you heard earlier tonight, and by both the State Planning Committee and also Newcastle County Comprehensive Plan. The rezoning of this greenfield space would be very precedent setting and encourage similar proposals in the future. Adverse impacts identified by the public comments were overwhelming at the Planning Committee meeting. There is a need to expand this facility, and we understand that. In closing, I make no apology for representing the people of the area who have contacted me. At the planning committee meeting, it was noted in the minutes that with the emails, the letters, and the petition signed, there were, at that time, that was July 17th, there were 121 people opposed to this project. Again, it's a pleasure to be here, and I hope that you give consideration against this proposal. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Senator. Senator, there's a question for you, sir. Councilman Powers.
Yes. Senator Ennis, I just got a couple questions, and some of it's what was brought up today to me. You brought up Middell. Middell, where is it located? I mean, it's located in the town of Smyrna city limits?
No. Let me take that back. I know that the town of Smyrna did annex areas south of the Route 1 interchange. And I think if Smyrna did, it's unusual because the town charter doesn't allow junkyards in the town of Smyrna. So if they did, I'm very surprised. But there are a lot of areas that were annexed.
It's annexed straight up the road. What I found out from a contractor is that Smyrna's looking at running a sewer line and a water line up to Middell, and they were asking him to bid on the contract.
Could well be. I know that the main purpose of the sewer and water grant that they got was for the industrial park, which is in Newcastle County, just across the line at Duck Pookie's, you know.
How far is it from Middell to this property?
A little less than a mile, I'd say. This property would be a little less than a mile north of Middell.
Thank you.
And the highway yard that we talked of in the workshop is at least a quarter mile north of this area.
I measured it the other day from property line to property line, it's 3/10.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator.
Next, please.
Good evening, Mr. President, Council. Councilman from Townsend, Jermaine Hatton. I'm here to oppose the actual annexation, well, the actual zoning change for this particular parcel. I'm here on behalf of Townsend because I want to retain Waste Industries in the town of Townsend. As you've already heard tonight, there's a parcel of land that is actually adjacent to the current property that there is an investor who is actually looking, which is currently the landlord for Waste Industries. Now he's actually been inquiring about purchasing. I would ask Council, Townsend, and also Waste Industries and the investor to actually sit down at the table to see if we couldn't make this work. Because the parcel of land is actually currently a county parcel. To see if we couldn't actually help to retain Waste Industries in Townsend, only for the economic growth that Townsend needs. Most of you who understand Townsend, it's the only major industry that we do currently have in Townsend. So again, I would ask that we, at least at this point, table the actual vote on this actual proposal and actually see if we couldn't all come to the table and see if we couldn't retain Waste Industries in Townsend.
Council President.
Councilman Powers.
I spoke with the man that they lease.
Mm-hmm.
He got up with Mrs. Cochran. That is not a preserved piece of property. She preserved the home farm. That's another piece. She told him that she would get back to him. She got back to him and does not want to sell. Danny told me that just yesterday, you know, the past couple of days.
Okay, well, that's Councilman Powers, that's the first I've heard of that, but there are other parts of the land within inside of the town of Townsend that we would like to explore to actually be able to retain the industry within inside of our town limit.
I'm just saying on that piece of property because it keeps coming up. You have to have a person that's willing
that is
to
correct.
Annex it into town for working and sell it. So
that is correct. And I spoke to Danny approximately 10 days ago with regards to the parcel, so that's news to me as well. But again, I would really strongly ask council to really think about tabling the actual vote on this tonight so we can actually do some additional due diligence to attempt to keep Waste Industries within inside the town of Townsend and also preserve the neighborhood of Savannah as well. Thank you.
Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a general comment. I find it very strange that we're here at the last minute before this vote when the community has not done any any communication with the developer. The town of Townsend wants them to stay. They haven't done any communication with the developer. And it just seems to me that if everybody has all of these self-interests, that it would have done good for everybody to sit down and have some communication, you know, develop a focus group and get everybody's ideas on the table. I just find it very strange that we're here at the last minute asking for everything when it's the developer that's the one that could have given everything.
I would just like to add to that, I did have a conversation within the last 2 weeks with Mr. Thigpont at Townsend, expressing our desire to retain their business.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman.
Thank you.
Councilmember Bell?
Yes.
Question, Councilman, please.
Number one, we appreciate you taking the time, as well as the residents, to come in this evening and voice their concerns and make their presentations. And I guess, as Councilwoman Kilpatrick related, what's a little discerning to me is that we've heard a lot of potential negatives about Waste Industries possibly being a bad neighbor or causing problems for the neighborhood. What I'm hearing from you, and you can either dispel it or whatever, but are they a good neighbor? Have they been responsible? Responsible business, but appear to me that if you're wanting to keep them there, you know, have they lived up to the expectations of what you expect in Townsend as what we would expect anywhere in Newcastle County?
Thank you. I cannot say anything bad about Waste Industries. Waste Industries has been a very good neighbor to us. I live approximately a mile from Waste Industries. I can't complain about them at all. Anytime we've had any issues, we've been able to pick up the phone and call Mr. Thigpont, and he's been able to actually address those issues in a timely manner to the satisfaction of the town. Again, I would like to retain your business, and I know some of our residents would too as well. And I wish I could stand here and tell you that they were a terrible neighbor, but I can't.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Council. Next, please.
Mm-hmm. Good evening, Stephen Dryden. I'm a resident, and I spoke, and thank you for the opportunity to speak extensively at last Tuesday's workshop. I greatly appreciate the courtesy shown. I'm going to be very brief tonight.
Please speak in the mic, Mr.
Excuse me. First off, I have tried to reach out to Mr. Tarabikos relative to certain improvements, tweaks, corrections to the proposed deed restrictions, because I don't think anyone can say that there haven't been attempts made through berms or what have you to beautify or make the medicine go down a little bit better with a little sweetener that's been set forth. One of the major concerns I've had, however, which has resulted in an agreement after I raised the issue on several occasions for three monitoring wells. I've suggested that they be done monitoring on a quarterly basis. This was passed on, even though at the hearing it was referenced to the fact that we are going to monitor for as long as we're going to be there. That's last week's hearing. The change that I recommended to mirror that notation now is a 10-year time frame. I suggested this morning, after seeing the revisions that Mr. Tarabikos set forth, that perhaps a quarterly review or monitoring of this is too, you know, it's just too much to anticipate or to look at. And I suggested, well, perhaps we would split the baby. In my type of litigation practice, this is the type of things we do all the time. We look at a matter, we can't come to an accord on one point, we try to move to a mutual designated and perhaps equally less palatable but digestible number and what have you. We're at a situation at this point in time where various residents who are concerned with their water quality, have, as I do, a top-of-the-line water system. We're going to have our water tested on a monthly basis. But I think it would make a lot more sense to try to get the problem, if there is one, and basically reach it at its infancy instead of after it's already had an impact, because that's a day late and that's a dollar short. We're talking about a best-case scenario. There's not going to be major increase in traffic, even though we're talking about an increase in numbers of trucks and we're talking about the infrastructure and what have you to support things. There's not going to be an odor situation, even though the truck washing...
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
State.
Yes.
Councilman Cartier and Councilman Weiner, please.
Yes, I want to touch back on the fear of groundwater contamination. Imagine, if you will, we're not here talking about this proposal, and you live in the village of Savannah, which in fact you do, and you live on the old Route 13, which in fact you do. Let me ask you something, sir. Where do you think the oil, radiator fluid, and other fluids from the vehicles who circulate past your development go every day? Let's say after a rain. Where do you think that those products from vehicles that traverse your community every day, where do you think it goes?
Respectfully, I understand that generally...
Well, please answer the question for me.
I am, sir. I understand that there obviously what goes up must come down. I also understand that in the terms of an aquifer, until you basically break the seal via well as far as and get into a situation where you can get the contaminants into the aquifer, that's really not going to be as much of an issue. Here, we're looking at the necessity because there is no water to this area. The waste industries has to break the seal. They have to drill well or wells. And under those circumstances, anything that doesn't happen to slide down into that pond but moves up to the area that's designated near an entryway as a water area could also end up impacting the community because the seal has been altered and broken.
Route 13 has been a highway for generations. There's been generations of traffic. It's an old highway with no stormwater management whatsoever. Fluids that run off that road go right into the adjacent fields. And I submit to you that that's gone on for a long time and probably you've had very little effect on your groundwater condition from that impact, and I submit that this project, which will have very strict management of water on impervious surfaces with stormwater management facilities, will mitigate any problems with groundwater contamination.
Thank you, Mr. Cartier. Mr. Weiner.
Thank you. Mr. Dryden, I appreciate your very pragmatic, practical approach. If this project were going to be approved, is there something that you feel, looking at it from a practical point of view, that you would like to see in a give and take?
Again, I think that more than an annual monitoring of these wells is something in a give and take that I would like. I would also like the fact that I have been at every one of these hearings, starting at the Plus Commission hearing. One thing that hasn't even been broached at any of these hearings, except the first, was the necessity to have several tanks on site, one for the fire a suppression system that is needed in a building of this size as mandated by the fire marshal, and the second basically to collect the water that they are going to create by their washing situation. Those tanks are going to be something that are going to have to also have to be either camouflaged or what have you, because they're going to be very visible from not only us, but anyone coming down Route 1 going to the beach who's going to have a bird's eye view of welcome to Smyrna as you see this entire situation, which is something to consider.
Thank you.
Mr. Redder and Mr. Street.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Dryden, I appreciate you coming here last week and this week, but also in the same time, I believe Councilman Cartier asked you, where does the water go when it rains from 13, which was never answered? I couldn't hear an answer anyway. And the other is, it was stated before Councilman Powers hit on it was the retention area that's going to have tanks underground. Now, right now, Route 13 doesn't have any tanks for any gas, any accidents, any highway spills to catch any of that, the goes on your property. I've been going up and down 13 for years, and I remember when it was just a two-lane road, but gone and coming. And there was nothing there then. There was a lot of farms, there were some homes. But right now, you're going to have, with this, you're going to have holding tanks and monitoring wells. There's nothing on 13 right near your house.
Understood, and I thought my answer was that obviously the water is going to be absorbed into the ground, and if it has a contaminant, then obviously those levels as far as are going to be impacted, but I tried to note that there's a sealed aquifer that obviously would hopefully protect the drinking water. As far as the rest of it goes, there's a reason why myself and I think a lot of people in our community have systems already in place. And it's not because of Waste Industries. It's because the water isn't that great to begin with, and we're talking about a vulnerability and the possibility of making it a whole heck of a lot worse. It only takes a mistake, not something that was done egregiously. I mean, you know, let's face it, the best and the brightest took out two of our space shuttles.
I believe there was a mistake of 1,600 gallons or something like that. A while back, and it was DelDOT, and they also have recycled macadam down there that they put in there, and water just runs on that and it comes off, and that's petroleum. Do they have tanks?
I have spoken to DelDOT Council the day subsequent to the last workshop meeting relative to the current concerns that were shared there. I'm equally as appalled by that sort of contamination as I would be by the vulnerability that we're looking at putting a mere 1,170 feet away from door, front door to front door as far as the situation plays. Mm-hmm. And again,
can I ask how long you lived there?
I purchased my property on July 9, 2002, sir.
2002?
Yes.
Okay, I think DelDOT was there before you.
Yes, they were, and that's the other thing. They're coming to us. When we go to somewhere else, it's kind of difficult to complain about what's already there.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Street, any other comments or questions? Mr. Power.
Mr. Dryden, you did bring up something, and I would like Dave Colbert to come up and kind of answer your question.
Mr. Colbert, please come.
He's in the back. He's coming.
Just so he knows what I'm asking, is the cone from the well, how many feet will that be also on the test wells? The cone is what comes down to it.
I didn't catch the question. I did
call the question is, I know we have setbacks on cones, especially on public wells, and what will be, you know, the distance that will be for their drinking well plus these test wells? We did it on a rezoning on Route 40 to change it. You know, there's a, when you put in a well.
Yeah, you're talking about the Class A or Class B.
When you put in a well, you have a cone of distance of what's going to go to that point. He did have a good answer. I mean, he's right. Where you could get contamination is on the point that goes through the aquifers. There's a distance that's supposed to be away from there, especially on public wells. I think we need to make sure we do the same thing on these wells.
Well, the
distance we don't want to be contaminated. If it does happen, we don't want to be contaminating the water from something that we do.
Right. Well, once you create a well and it becomes a classified well under the DENREC regulations, the UDC does have a setback requirement for impervious or pervious conditions around it on the surface.
Yeah.
If you're talking about the contamination once you get into the well, it has to yield to somebody who's the wetlands. Mr. Bross.
He may know. Do you have an idea? I know I've been in meetings where do you have the answer or do you not know the answer?
I'm going to move back because I know you're not pointing to me.
Sorry, yeah, not George. Sorry.
Mr. President, is it all right if I answer that question?
Please, sir.
It's a good question, Councilman Powers. You're referring to a typically a Class A wellhead where you've got a transient population that drinks the water, like perhaps for a shopping center. This would not be a Class A wellhead because it's for a dedicated facility and not non-public use, non-transient use, so it's dedicated. So there wouldn't be a zone put around this particular well. However, we are very concerned because just like the residents who live in Village of Savannah, the folks in Waste Industries are going to be drinking this water. This water, and I'm sort of appreciating your analysis earlier, if most of these wells are screened in the Rancocas aquifer, which was a confined aquifer.
Yes.
The water from the Rancocas typically enters south of the canal, moves in a southerly direction in the Rancocas. The shallow water table, the Columbia, the waters move to the north. So there may be some confusion there. But anyway, we're very concerned about that because our folks are going to be drinking that water, so we want to make sure, obviously, that it's properly installed.
I guess if this goes in, I would rather have the same type of thing, even though if it was a subdivision and being a public well, we would be looking at that. It needs to be the same type of thing for sure.
Well, and let me just say, our hydrogeologist, and I'm not a registered professional geologist, but certainly we have folks in our firm who are, and they've looked at this site in great detail, obviously, because this question has come up. And, we're very comfortable that, one, we can develop the site without interfering with either the wells or the water quality. I would submit to you that this particular site, for its use, is probably unique in having monitor wells. I mean, typically the only time you put monitor wells in on a site like this would usually be if it's in a designated water resource protection area.
How deep are the monitoring wells
going to
be?
Well, the wells are going to be screened in the Columbia Formation, so they're probably going to be somewhere in the, if I had to estimate right now, probably in the 8 to 15, 17-foot range in terms of the screening.
So the shallow aquifer, which most of that water goes vertical, right?
Yes, it goes vertical until it gets to the Rancocas or the retarding layer or the impeding layer between the Columbia and the Rancocas, as I think you were alluding to earlier tonight.
I just forgot a lot of the names.
You were pretty close.
Anything else, Mr. Powell?
I would like some type of commitment. You know, there's enough soil there that, this is a question, and I never saw it. I like it when you send plans with soil types on them, or what are the soils on that property?
Again, I'm not a soil scientist, so you're probably dealing with Falsington type soils, would be my estimation.
Probably Falsington and Sassafras.
Yes, and you might even have a little bit of pocketing with some Sassafras. There's a couple areas where you have some decent sands, but for the most part, soils, as you pointed out earlier, are pretty poor on the site. High water table. I mean, water table is probably, you know, the 3-4 feet below the surface.
A question was asked by Councilman Retta, you know, dry pond. Just knowing that end of that area, it's probably going to be a wet pond more for pollution reasons, but it most likely, just knowing and looking at the soil, will have probably, you know, a Falsington, Pocomoke, you know, with the clay layer, which would probably be the best soils to put that type of pond.
Certainly there are soils that impede downward flow of water, so to that point, yes. And I guess the question has come up, so perhaps I might offer. The stormwater on this site is going to be managed in a created wetland. That was a request of both the county land use department as well as DENREC. And so our applicant has acceded to that wish. So it's going to be a very high-quality water management facility.
Just to explain to everybody else what that is.
The reason you do that. The reason you do that is because it is probably the most efficient manner to actually create improved water quality, because you have plant material in the wetlands that actually uptakes a number of contaminants. And as I say, it's to our clients credit, they're willing to do this because it's considerably more expensive than putting other forms of more conventional stormwater management, which are allowed by code, I might add.
Yeah, I understand, and I know, you know, I just want to make sure, you know, why the reason you're putting a pond. Somebody may just think you're collecting there and it's not doing anything.
Right. Well, and I guess I would further note that adjacent to the site, there are two Deldot stormwater ponds that do treat runoff from Route 1, not from Route 13. I think Councilman Cartier had mentioned that. And those ponds are, in fact, in contact with the groundwater table. That's why they're wet.
Yeah.
And so anything that runs off the highway on Route 1 goes into those ponds and is in contact with the groundwater in the area.
Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Mr. President. One more question, yes. And then we have two last speakers.
My last question for Mr. Dryden.
Mr. Dryden, please.
Yes, I'd like to ask Mr. Dryden if any of the factors that Mr. Bross cited allay any or some of your concerns.
At this point in time, my concerns are based upon the fact that it's a best-case scenario. It's all going to work right. It's all going to be just fine. The question you have to ask yourself today, I think, is what if it doesn't? Because then you've got a problem. We have more of a problem. Because then you have a problem, too. Because who's going to be ending up with the bill for re-drilling all the wells in the community and the surrounding area if there is a problem? I think that's the real question. We can all look pie in the sky. We can say it's beautiful. It's going to work. It's fantastic. But what if? And I think that's really what you have to look at. And one thing that you referenced, a little bit further down, within a mile of this community, there's a brand new house that's been built within the last 2 years, and there are some other lots that are now being offered for sale residential. So perhaps it's not the greatest farmland. Doesn't mean that houses can't be built in those respects, just as a matter of course and a matter of point of order. Thank you.
Thank you, sir, for your testimony. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Culver. Please come. State your name for the record. We have one more speaker, then we will move.
Hi, my name is June Keister. I have been a resident of the Village of Savannah since February of 2002. I think I was the third house in the area. And, I mean, you've all heard all the concerns of the neighbors, and, you know, I'm not going to claim to be an expert on any of the aquifers or what contaminants can and cannot get in. All I know is when I came to the area, I spent a lot of time researching where I wanted my house. I made a choice to go to the Village of Savannah because of certain things. We had wetlands behind us, so I knew my house backed up to woods that was not going to be developed. I thought this area would not be developed as well. So I made a choice, and that's where I chose to move. I am now second-guessing my choice because I would not want my family to have a chance of having a worst-case scenario happen. So thank you for your time tonight.
Thank you. Please come, our last speaker.
My name is Tim Murray, and I'm a lifelong resident of the MOT area. Mr. President, council members. My story is a little different than the Village of Savannah's. In 1990, I found myself in the same position in which they are in now when the transfer station was being built on Pine Tree Road. I resided at 199 Pine Tree Road. I had some of the same reservations and some of the same concerns that they had. However, I can say that the 5 years I lived there after that place was open, it was a well-maintained, well-oiled, well-working facility, very safe. It did not disrupt my life. It did not disrupt my water. It did not disrupt anything that we have. And I also raised two children in that area, started raising two children in that area while that building was there and while it was working. I also am a contractor in the Smyrna area, and I go through Route 13 every day, sometimes 3-4 times a day through that area. There is traffic on that road. It is a busy road, and there's always trucks on that road, too. I'm one of the trucks that's on that road. I've also worked in the facility at Pine Tree Road as an electrical contractor for them, and that facility is very safe, very maintained, and very clean. And I'm in favor of the rezoning. Thank you.
Thank you.
No, you can wait a minute. Excuse me.
Councilman, you got a question?
Yeah, I got a question.
Or comment?
Thank you. Sorry about that.
Thank you, Mr. Powers.
Almost got away.
I know you've lived there quite a while.
Yeah.
Just everyone's saying about the smells and stuff. I mean, I go into that transfer room just to make sure everybody knows it's where they're dumping the trucks. And I've never gotten a complaint of smells.
Correct me if I'm wrong, all they're dumping is inside the facility.
I agree.
And they have appliances that sit outside the facility.
Yes.
So any odor you have is when you go up into the building and you dump. I also use the facility and have used it for years. I'm also a volunteer firefighter in the area, and we have not had any issues where we've been in there working on contaminated waters or spills or oil spills or fuel spills or anything like that.
That's all I was just asking. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Caller, you have a comment? I'm sorry, Mr. Hollins.
I'm sorry, Mr. President. I asked Mr. Culver to come closer. I didn't know he was going to go back. I didn't want to speak and ask my question on Mr. Dryden's dime, so I asked him to be closer, because I do have a question I need to present to him.
Mr. Culver.
Yes. Please call. And it has to do with Level 4. This site is designated Level 4 by the state of Delaware, and I know a couple of speakers did have raised that issue. And Councilman Weiner took a stab at trying to answer it, saying he thought perhaps that the state of Delaware had made a mistake. So I just wanted to understand your rationale for moving forward with approval in a Level 4 designated site.
Thank you, David Culver, General Manager, Department of Land Use. And we did take that into consideration. That was a comment within the plus comments from the state. And we did carefully look at that being in a Level 4. A couple of things to mention. The SR district is not an agricultural preserve district. The SR district is a suburban reserve district. And basically when you read the UDC, it says SR is reserved to be a suburban growth area once the SO land is filled up. It's supposed to be zoned S and given sewer. So that's just a holding pattern like the old R2 until there is a need for development. So we do take that into consideration in the SR district. We also had a look at the neighborhood, and when you look at the neighborhood, this parcel is adjacent to Smyrna, and obviously when you go into the town limits, you automatically become a 1 or a 2 on the state strategies map at the growth region. So the area in general does have a mixture of some commercial, some industrial, some residential. We also have town limits that are adjacent to this property. So we took that all into consideration. So if the town of Smyrna did in fact annex this parcel, the state wouldn't have the same comments. We also took into account what the PLUS report said, the Delta concerns, historical concerns, but we also had a letter on the record from DETO that's also supporting the rezoning or general growth in that area. So we took all that into consideration when we were doing the analysis. The other interesting thing, we did have this conversation during the comprehensive plan update in 2012 and with state planning when we were looking at the strategies map for updating, is we do have approximately 1,041 acres between 1 and 13 from the C&D Canal down to the Kent County line. And those parcels of land have, in effect, become orphan parcels because we don't think as a department that's appropriate for a residential area. You certainly don't want to put new residential within that area between 1 and 13. And at the same time, it's not really, you know, an area that is screaming for a lot of development right now because we have a lot of other potential development. So we're trying to take what is a good transitional use of this property, what would be the best growth pattern between 1 and 13, especially up and down that route. And we thought this, as a project with the safeguards, was a good transitional use. Obviously, we still honor the state's concerns. We are still working with the state on those type of issues. By rezoning this parcel, you actually are amending the comprehensive plan to say that this is in the urban redevelopment area and is zoned I, and would then become, on our view of the map, an area 1 or 2 when the state strategies map would be again updated. So it is a very difficult situation. I think the earlier plan we approved for Schubert's is a typical example. A land between 1 and 13, zoned commercial. It's a transitional use. You don't want to see housing or other types of uses on that area between 1 and 13. So we try to take all that into that consideration in our rezoning, and that's when we really got into the consistency of the neighborhood. What is that land going to become? And I think we heard testimony both ways. We understand all that. We just thought in looking at the neighborhood, it did meet the criteria for the rezoning.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Powers.
That's level four, and
had a map pulled up, and looking at the map down here in orange, just south of that pond, Smyrna was level 2
in
that area.
Mm-hmm.
And which goes up in the white.
Please speak into the mic, Councilman, please.
It goes up into the white area.
Thank you.
See, it says the town of Smyrna right on this map. That's a level 2 area of Delta, just the next property south of it.
Well, municipalities within the state strategies maps are always going to be listed as 1 or 2 because that's where the state desired the growth to go, because typically in a municipality you would have the infrastructure available, water and sewer. Newcastle County being the most urbanized county in the state, obviously, we provide the sewer service and water service throughout, especially northern Newcastle County. That's why you see that all in areas of 1 or 2, specifically for those growth districts.
But normally in planning, don't you normally build out from where you already have that?
Typically, when you design a growth area, you see a growth area, you typically try to expand out from your infrastructure to provide the infrastructure that gives you greater density. So building out from around the towns is normally a growth strategy you see. Newcastle developed a little different. As in southern Newcastle County, we have sewer plant in the central core. That's really where the growth is occurring for the residential uses in that area.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Cartier?
Yes, Dave. Just a process question for clarification, because I saw in some of the writing from residents in the area an issue with amending the comprehensive plan. Isn't it true when we do a rezoning by council vote that we amend the comprehensive plan? Is a typical process.
It's a typical process if you are rezoning it from a non-residential to a residential or vice versa. You're amending the comprehensive plan. Non-residential or normally does not amend the comprehensive plan because it's already consistent with that growth district. And depending on the densities of a residential to residential, you may or may not be amending the comprehensive plan. But that's always your final exhibit in your ordinance, amending the comprehensive plan to be consistent with what the rezoning has done.
So if this goes through this vote tonight and we amend from SR to I, we're going to amend the comprehensive plan.
You are amending the comprehensive plan by that action.
Thank you, Mr. Cardi. Any comments, questions for Councilmember Diller?
Dave, if you can tell me this, how far south are the city limits of Smyrna from this parcel?
If I recall, it's directly across the ramp off of 1.
Okay. And do the utilities from the city of Smyrna end at that ramp as well?
I don't want to go into some pending litigation the county has. The sewer in that area runs from Kent County. There's a line that specifically comes from Kent County to serve the Delaware Correctional Facility, the rest area, and the DEMA building. There is an issue between DelDOT, Newcastle County, and the town of Smyrna on the actual ownership of those lines, in which we believe that Newcastle County does still have an interest in ownership, because I think DelDOT would like to turn those lines over to the town of Smyrna, which would facilitate the growth within the area that Smyrna annexed several years ago within Newcastle County. So there is sewer lines there. The ownership of those lines and the capacity of those lines are to be determined.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilmember Street.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Cobb, you were president the Land Use Committee meeting last week when I raised the concern I had about the way the city of Wilmington had dealt with its trash trucks as relates to Hamilton Park, what was promised. And I think there was some acquiescence that what the city had done, what the city had promised, was wrong and it wasn't fair. But the position was taken that we as a county, we didn't do that. Well, if you look at my district and pictures that I put up, what's the date of that, Mr. Bull? The pictures. This is the harsh reality of what happens that we in the county have no control over. 2009, and you were with the department. This is what happens when you put residential next to industrial. These are the pictures that I showed, and as we speak, 2009, some 4 years later, nothing's been done about that. No corrections made. Is that correct? No substantive change to the problems. And as a matter of fact, we had a conversation about a resolution to the problem today.
That's my understanding of the situation with the city, yes.
No, but this has nothing to do with the city. This is Powell's Lane in Hamilton Park, under our jurisdiction, within the county, that I've been complaining about since 2009. Nothing's been done about it. There's been no progress about it. So wouldn't I be a little bit hypocritical if after four years I cried foul about this and turned around and said, I'm going to vote on this?
I certainly understand the situation, and again, as we discussed, when you have older developed parts of the county and you have grandfathered non-conforming uses, until they go to make the changes, that's when our buffering and our other protections within the UDC come into effect. The department, again, and we've been working on this issue, but we don't have a resolution.
Do you recall that when I initially made the presentation with these pictures, that this is somebody's front yard?
Oh, I bet to the site I'm aware of that situation.
Okay, so again, my point being, this is the harsh reality of what happens when you put industrial next to residential and you have folks that make promises. The city of Wilmington made a promise that the public works trucks would not turn right coming out of the yard and go into the city, and wouldn't go past the houses in Hamilton Park, that they would all turn left. And the fact of the matter is, they're turning right, and not only are they turning right, they're coming in from Southfield Street and going to the yard. But the county has nothing to do with that. But we had another conversation today about the landfill in Minkwedale, where the company had promised, and the law, as I understand it, the rules and regulations are that they can only put dry waste in the landfill. It's not the same company, but another a waste disposal company. But as we speak, I have complaints, and I have to go to Minkwedale Thursday night about the allegation that trash is being dumped where dry waste is only supposed to be dumped. And I was out there this morning, and I don't know what you scientists call them, but I call them the garbage birds. Mm-hmm. They're flying all around. I don't think they're trying to eat cement and wood. So, but the expectation is that you're going, we're supposed now in the instant matter, to trust the waste haulers. Is that correct?
I'm not making any representation to trust any group or any different situation. Obviously, the waste management site at Minkwedale, which I reported back to you today, based off our conversation with Denrec, is a supposed to be dry waste, and it's supposed to be an on-site inspector, and Denrec is the regulatory agency. When you have a transfer station under the control of DSWA, that's out of county jurisdiction. We have no zoning or approval ability on that. I understand the situation. I know that we deal with this in the majority of the northern districts, and even in some of the older districts in area in District 12. When you had development prior to subdivision and zoning regulations, you had incompatible uses next to each other. Do you always have that situation today? You still have that situation today. The code was designed that when you have incompatible uses, to have the greater buffering and the greater safeguards. On these older non-conforming situations, as they redevelop or as they come in for a new development plan, we try to get those safeguards in effect in accordance with the county code. I just can't say that we can address every one of those ills today, because until somebody comes in with a change, that's when our code kicks in. But I understand the situation. And we're going to continue to work.
But right now, under the law, I can't get berms here. And we've got the recognition of what happens residential next to industrial. But all this in the landfill situation in Minkwedale, based on trust. But see, I understand, and I don't want you to try to defend this because I'm not attacking you, but I understand what the residents are saying, because the fact of the matter is, if this goes through, which it sounds like to me it will, okay, we're starting with a state promise, and the state advertises a home of tax-free shopping, reduced taxes, and the young lady came and she testified last week that I work in Jersey, but I came to Delaware because of country living, and basically this is my dream house. See, I understand that that's where she is, and that's how they feel, that's how a lot of residents feel, and in my opinion, the state is breaking a promise if this goes through, we're breaking a promise if this goes through, and this is the epitome of why people who are not generally involved in government despise most of us. So when I mix that, and I look at that, and then I look at what I think is folks being punished for being successful. You know, you work hard, you do all the things you're supposed to do, you go to school, you work hard, and you build your dream house, you think you're set for life, and then somebody comes along and says, you know what, I'm going to buy this property next to it, and it's zoned this way, but I think because I know people in high places. It's like the little kid that I had in school told the principal, you ain't gonna suspend me. I know people in high places. And when I got finished with him, he didn't say that anymore. But it's the same church, different pew. Because I took the risk of buying this property. I knew how it was owned, but I know people in high places. So with my influence and with the folks I can get to help me with their influence, we're in the situation that we're in. And Mr. President, I will stop you for my last comment. That's why I will not support this or anything like it. I think it's fundamentally wrong. I think it's wrong for the residents. I think it's wrong for the state. I think it's wrong for us as a government. And I can't, in good conscience, complain and cry foul about this. And somebody from the previous administration sat back there and made sure my aide heard her say, well, how many times is he going to show it? Well, I'm going to show it as many times as I need to show it to somebody figures out a way to get something done about it. But I can't complain about this and support this. It's not going to happen.
Please, please, please. I've asked you five times not to cheer. If you do that one more time, we're going to clear the chambers. Please respect the protocol of the chambers. Please. We know this is an emotional issue. Please govern yourself accordingly. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Culver.
Thank you.
We're now at the point calling for your poll and vote.
Council President.
Yes, Mr. Bell.
If I could, I'd like to enter something on the record this evening. Understanding what the testimony has been, what the concerns are, understanding some of the questions that have been asked about a spirit of cooperation between the developer and the community. The developer had offered to the community to go to other waste industry sites and to visit and take a look at their sites so that they'd have a better understanding as to what was at that site and possibly if there were things that they would like to be added in deed restrictions or improvements or anything made. As we've heard this evening, that was to no avail. And I, for one, as a councilman, take it very seriously. We take a look at all the plans. We take a look at the notes on the plans. We visit the sites. And so I chose personally to take Mr. Terabikas up on his offer of going down to the facility at Harford County in Maryland and take a look at the site. Now, So back on February the 9th, 9:30 in the morning, one of the coldest days of this winter, myself, Councilman Powers, was to meet Larry Terabicus at Glasgow and drive down to Harford County to take a look at the facility. Unfortunately, being one of the coldest days of the winter, and Councilman Powers being an active farmer, he had situations with livestock on the farm where he could not free himself up and get down to Harford County. But I chose to do that because I wanted to see another facility. I wanted to see what it was next to. I wanted to see what it was about. We've been bombarded with emails, and I think each of us, we read them, we try to sort through them, we treat them seriously, we take people's concerns and interests, and it's a tremendous judgment call that we all have to make. But one of the emails that was being circulated around the community was that Councilman Bell went on an all-expense-paid trip to Harford County, Maryland. All-expense-paid trip to Harford County, Maryland. And I bring this up because it's okay to send comments and concerns and ask questions and have input, like what we do in our land use meeting, land use committee, and what we do on this floor this evening. But it went on to say that Mr. Terabicus provided me with a limousine, bought all my meals, and I was paid to go to Harford County. And what I want to make perfectly clear on this council floor is that we value our integrity. And on that particular morning, Bill Powers couldn't go. I gassed up our family van after dropping off my wife, okay, at work. I drove my family van, would not ride in Mr. Terabicus' vehicle, and asked Mr. Terabicus to join me in the van and go down to Maryland. I gassed my own car up with my own credit card. I stopped at Dunkin' Donut at 9:30 and ordered myself a cup of coffee and two donuts. Mr. Terabicus didn't want anything, and I have the receipts. So the fact of the matter is that those type of emails are poison. Those type of emails, when they go around a community, undermine the fact that a lot of us take our job very seriously. I went on a Saturday, my day off. I was not paid. I didn't go on a limo. I didn't eat a meal or anything, because that's the way we do business in Newcastle County as far as the council representatives. Now, what I did see at Harford County was that I saw approximately 75 trucks, very windy day. All the exteriors of the trucks were clean. They were lined up in their parking spots behind an office building and a maintenance building. They were fenced in. They were adjacent to homes to the south, and I would say probably to the southeast of the property. On the westerly side, there was a mobile home village with manufactured homes that was on the other side of the fence adjacent to the property. Took a look at the trucks, spoke with the manager of the facility there, and as was pointed out, there were a few trucks, okay, that in between where, I guess, the grinder of the truck goes into the truck, there may have been a few pieces of cardboard or something there. To the best of my knowledge and visibility, there was no trash or garbage on the trucks. The trucks were well maintained. We spent some time there, walked around the facility, but we did that to better understand what that facility looked like and how, if this facility was to become reality, what should be required, what should we come back with land use for. But I just want to make it on the record that, you know, sometimes folks, and I think they have their best interests of trying to, protect, their homes or environment and things, and we welcome comment and input. But that type of comment and input making accusations that are totally false I want it on a record that they're totally false, and I've got the receipts to show it. I don't need an all-expense-paid trip to Harford County, okay, and nor would I accept an all-expense-paid trip. But what I did see down there was very similar to what I saw at Townsend, and that is a distribution center for Waste Industries trucks. And there were some debris up against the fence area. Some could have been on the outside. A few pieces may have been on the inside. But that's actually what I saw. And I just want to report that back to council that, unfortunately, Councilman Powers was unable to make it, but I did take the time to get down to take a look.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Now we're ready to proceed. I appreciate your comment on the record, Councilman Bell. We're at the point for calling for your poll and vote, members. Please state how you are voting and the reasons why. Please feel free to incorporate by reference your prior comments on the legislation when giving the poll. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Bell?
I am voting yes, based upon the recommendation of our Land Use Department.
Mr. Bullock?
I'm voting yes, based on the recommendation of the Land Use Department.
Mr. Cartier?
I am voting yes, based on the positive recommendation of the Land Use Department, also based on the offer of additional protections to the local community, and also based on the idea that we have adjacent uses that are similar and compatible.
Ms. Diller?
I'm voting yes, based on the consistency with the zoning and use of nearby properties.
Mr. Hollins?
I believe that this particular application will fit into the current character of the neighborhood, having traveled 13, I think we all have, more than a limited amount of times. Secondly, I believe that the extra protections offered through the UDC, along with the conditional approval from the department with all of these restrictions, would offer greater protection, and I believe that the Land Use Department has looked thoroughly at this application, give good rationale on why they would make this recommendation in Level 4 based upon one of the things being so adjacent to the town of Smyrna. So I will be supporting the recommendation and voting in the affirmative. And I vote in the affirmative.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
I'm voting yes based on the positive recommendation from the Department of Land Use in regard to the character of the overall area and the protections that the developer has given.
Mr. Powers?
I will be voting yes by the recommendations of the Planning Department, the consistency of what's north and south. I got a lot, also the jobs. I've gotten a lot of calls in the area of constituents about jobs in that area, and I am voting yes.
Mr. Retta?
I'm voting yes in agreement with land use and the restrictions that are set forth.
Mr. Shelton?
I'm also voting in affirmative, yes. I agree with both the Land Use and Planning Board who confirmed this.
No planning board.
But the Land Use did have a positive recommendation, and it does confirm with the character of the community on that side of 1 and 13, and the extra protections with the wells, I think, was a great idea by Land Use putting it in.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes, I'm voting yes, based on a recommendation of the Land Use Department and their explanation for their said recommendation.
Mr. Street?
Yes, I'm voting no. Based on one, it does not comport with the existing character of the community. Two, the recommendation made by State Planning Department. Third, because my comments earlier, I would be hypocritical to cry foul about industrial versus residential in close proximity like that in my district. And finally, I don't want to be a part of, will not be a part of, at this point, what I think are government dream stealers. That's the way I look at it from both the state and in our level, the way people will view us, and I don't want to be part of that.
Mr. Tackett?
I will be voting yes. I will echo a lot of the comments from Councilman Hollins and also offer one of the most compelling pieces of evidence I think we heard tonight was given the fact that this industry has history where they're at now and that the township felt so compelled that they would come out and actually try to argue to retain them shows that obviously they are a good neighbor and they know how to be one.
Now, a point of information, rather than saying I will be voting, if you could say I am voting yes.
Mr. Weiner, I thank you very much, but I would like to get comments from our council.
Right. Council, would you kindly advise?
And I am voting yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tackett.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes. We've heard from 12 sincere members of council on their opinions, and not all are in agreement. We each have a responsibility to balance the legitimate interests of three separate, distinct, and often competing interests, the immediate community, the community at large, and the applicant. The fact that not all of us are in agreement does not in any way mean that anyone's integrity should be impugned. It was just a few weeks ago that we all unanimously voted against a contentious rezoning called the Stopper rezoning. It's easy for folks to simply say, be reasonable, do it my way. But we have an obligation to look at it from a broader point of view. I've dedicated my time to making sure that the applicant was heard, the community was heard, and that all ideas were exchanged. And I'm with a clear conscience voting in support of this application in light of the rationales set forth by the applicant and by the Land Use Department.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 12 yes, 1 no.
Thank you. Thank all of you who provided testimony and the applicants as well. Thank you. Moving on with the agenda, J, time-sensitive congratulatory and honorary resolutions. I have one resolution number 13-071.
Second.
Is that second?
Second.
Moved by title only for council's consideration and adoption.
Resolution 13-071, honoring Black History Month and acknowledging the contributions of local African Americans to our communities.
Thank you per title.
Absolutely. I know.
Any questions or comments on that? Public comment? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
You got to call the vote. I was calling for you.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 13 yes.
Emergency ordinances? Public comment on anything else? Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Powers?
Yeah, I got a comment. Monday, while you were, one reason I wasn't at the government center, Middletown High School had the Lord Mayor of Westminster, England, asking the band to come to their next year's New Year's Day parade. And I have to say it was a really neat thing to see. Mac Dan, John Carney, the mayor of Middletown, and myself were there. And the lady was a really nice lady. They have a council, Westminster, of 60 people for a town that has a population of 250,000. But it was a really neat thing to see, and that's one reason I wasn't there on Monday.
Thank you for sharing. Any other comment before we...
Yes, Mr. President.
Mr. Bell?
Want to recognize and thank Councilman Smiley, Councilwoman Kilpatrick, Councilman Cartier, and Councilman Weiner for attending on council's behalf last Sunday afternoon, the 100th anniversary kickoff of our Newcastle County Police Department. Councilman Smiley did present and read into the record there the resolution from all of County Council honoring our Newcastle County Police Department. But just didn't want to go without mentioning that. There were several pictures taken there, and I'm very proud to have had four of our council representatives here on our behalf.
Thank you. Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Meeting is adjourned.
Already.
Good night.